Shabbat Shalom, saints, and welcome to our Sabbath Holy Convocation Service. Each week, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet us here. In fact, Jehovah commanded us to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. We know, according to Leviticus 23, the Sabbath is a feast of Jehovah. So I want you to grab something to write with, something to write on, and prepare yourself to receive inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for our Sabbath Holy Convocation Service. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a two-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you. Shalom. I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches Scripture from a Messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. I'm excited to inform you that Hebrew Roots University is open for admission. Please check out our newly designed innovative website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate's, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. We have kept our website design simple, making it easy to navigate to what really matters, and that is our degree courses. Please take a moment and peruse through the pages of our website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. When you're ready to take the first step on this exciting educational theological journey, simply click the Apply Now button and follow the instructions. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Got Questions section at the bottom of our website. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey. So check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Shalom.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Shabbat Shalom and greetings, everyone. Welcome to House of Israel and everyone here in Charlotte, North Carolina, as well as all of you that are watching online, it's great to have you. May Yahuwah's grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you all. You know, today is a special day. We're alive. We're able to enjoy our Creator's creation. We're able to enjoy this holy feast day of His and have great fellowship and hear His word. It can't get much better than that, I don't think. And now, if that wasn't enough, we have a special teaching today. And a special teacher. You know, Yahuwah has heard your prayers and has raised up laborers unto the harvest. So praise Him because He is worthy. Hallelujah. The title for today's message is Restoration. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But for now, we have one announcement. It's a long announcement, but it's just one. So today is, you know, a Sabbath. Today is a holy day. It's a feast day. And it's also the second day of the sixth biblical month. That's right. Sunset Thursday, we started the first day of the sixth biblical month. And since it is the second day, normally we have our corporate prayer on the second day. But since this is a Sabbath, so at sunset tonight through sunset tomorrow, we'll have our corporate prayer so that we pray that Yahuwah continues to raise up laborers unto the harvest. Also, given that, hey, we're in the sixth month, we now have less than a month. That's right, less than 4 weeks before the seventh biblical month. And we've got four feast days in the seventh biblical month, starting off with the Feast of Trumpets. And when is the Feast of Trumpets? Amen, sister. That's right. So you don't have to think about it. It's the same as it is every year, the first day of the seventh biblical month. Amen. And that should be, for us planning purposes, around September 16th or 17th. But so that's why we say stay tuned. Subscribe on our website so you'll get the email notifications when that new moon is sighted in Jerusalem, which will start our seventh month, and we'll have a celebratory for the Feast of Trumpets here at House of Israel. And once we know when that date is, then we'll be able to populate all the rest of the three feast dates as well. It'll be on the website, and you can RSVP because we'd love to have you here. And if for some reason you can't be here, you can still tune in online. And lastly, we need some volunteers for the upcoming feast days, for greeters or hospitality, for food, and for decorations. So if you'd like to participate in any one of those, or more than one, we'll accept that. Please use the Contact Us form on the website and let us know. So at this time, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to invite Minister Shaquita Walker to come up and lead us in opening prayer.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you on today. We welcome you in this place, Father. Father, you said in your word, where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are here in the midst of us. And Father, we welcome you and we bless you and we honor you and we praise you on this wonderful day, Father. We thank you that you continue to bring us from Sabbath to Sabbath, Father. What a glorious day. Another day of rest in you. Father, we take it not for granted, Father, of what you do for your children each and every day, Father, that you woke us up this morning, Father. There was someone who didn't wake up today, but you chose to wake us up another day for the praise of your glory, Father, and we are grateful and we are thankful. We come in this place on today, Father, with humble hearts, Father. We teshuvah, we turn back to you this day, for you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, we repent, Father. We ask you to forgive us for anything that we've said, done, or thought that's not according to your will. We pray that you would create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, Father. If there's anything that's in us that's not like you, we cast it down right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. Father, we thank you for your word is true. It will not come back void, but it's going to do exactly what you sent it out to do, Father. Your word is living, Father. We thank you for Yeshua, the one in the beginning that put on flesh. Father, he came and he demonstrated your power and your glory, Father, by everything that he said and everything that he did. And he is now sitting at your right hand, making intercession for us, your people. Because he is in us and we are in him, we're also seated in heavenly places, far above all principalities, Father. We thank you. Father, we bless you for your set apart spirit, your Holy Spirit. We welcome your spirit in this place on today. We pray that you would continue to lead us and guide us and direct us in the truth of your word. Father, we pray today, Father, for the message that is going to come forth, Father. We lift up Brother Ray to you, Father, right now in Yeshua's name, Father, that you would speak to him, Father, that you would lead him, Father, with your divine presence, with your word, Father. And we thank you, Father. Father, we ask you on today, Father, just to fill us, Father, just to continue to fill us with your presence, Father, because we can't do it without you. We need you. We need you every second, every minute, every hour of the day, Father. And we pray that you would continue to give us eyes to see and ears to hear so that we can see and hear what it is that you're speaking and you're showing us through your spirit. Father, we pray today for the mind of Yeshua, the mind that wants to serve you, the mind that wants to worship you, and the mind that wants to obey you, Father. Bless us with your wisdom and your revelation knowledge concerning your word, Father. Father, you told us in your word to pray for the laborers, for the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few, Father. But we are encouraged, Father, because we know that you always have a remnant in the earth, Father, for we are your remnant, Father. And so we just continue to pray that you would rise up leaders and disciples, Father, from the east, the west, the north, and the south, Father. And Father, help us, Father, to have hearts of preparation, Father, to go out to the nations, to disciple, to do what it is that you've called us to do, Father. And we know that you've given us everything that we need, Father. And so we bless you and we honor you on this day, Father. We pray that the fruits of your spirit would continue to work mightily in the lives of your people, Father. We pray for more of your love, your joy, your peace, your long suffering, your self-control, every attribute of you, Father. We receive it in the name of Yeshua, Father. Father, we pray for those today that need healing, Father. We pray that healing would come in the mind, the body, and the soul, Father. We thank you, Father. You said no sickness or disease shall come near our dwelling, that 5,000 may fall at our left, 10,000 at our right, but it shall not come nigh thee. So, Father, as the word comes forth on today, we pray that someone, Father, us in this building, us watching online, that we would be healed, delivered, and set free in Yeshua's name. We love you. We bless you. We honor you and we praise you. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, Minister Shaquita. I appreciate that. That's awesome prayer. So, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, at this time I'd like to turn it over to Apostle Arthur Bailey.
All right. Shabbat Shalom, saints. Greetings to all of you and welcome. Certainly honored this morning. Some of you know that we have been praying for some time as we started our corporate prayer and praying for Father to raise up the harvest laborers, and those laborers would go into the harvest and they would be those who would actually minister to the harvest. This year, we have been fortunate here at House of Israel. We've seen several individuals rise up to the calling. Now, as I was talking to Brother George earlier this morning and thinking back to all the way back to 2010, 2011, when we first started the discipleship training and then the leadership training, and then we did ministers training one, ministers training two. And during all that time, the purpose, because we are a ministry training center, is to raise up ministers, to raise up the ministers, the pastors, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and the teachers, because the harvest is plentiful. And when it comes down to reaping the harvest, it's going to take every one of us who have been called to do ministry. Now, one thing's for sure is that we're all called to the ministry. Whether we're called to apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher is a different situation, but we're all called to be ministers of reconciliation. That means that every last one of us have a responsibility to the environment that we're in to demonstrate, to share, to preach, to teach, to minister to the people that you come in contact, many of which some of us in this room will never come in contact with. Brother George is coming to us all the way from New Mexico. There are ministers all over the globe, and I've heard too many times, and we've received so many emails through our contact us form asking if we had a ministry like this in their neck of the woods. And we've had to say at this particular time, no, but we anticipate that that would not be our answer in the future when it comes down to these particular callings or emails or requests. But in order for that to happen, people have to step up. And so today we have one of those brothers who have stepped up, and I'm really honored that we have a platform, a ministry where he can come and he can actually present what Father has given him to you. And so for those of you who are joining us online and those of you, of course, who are here, I want you to receive the ministry of Minister George Ray. I want to pray for him. I want you to pray for him and just trust that the Almighty is going to speak to him through you, speak through him to us, and that the words that come forth out of his mouth will be those words that Father has given him. Father, we just thank you for this man. We thank you for the one that you have called, the one you've anointed, and the one that you have ordained to bring the message this day. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us the ability to comprehend the things that are spoken. Give him clarity of mind and speech, Father, so that there is no interference between him and heaven as your messengers come and bring him word as you have given him word to speak. We pray, Father, that it come forth with power, with anointing power. And we bind every work of the enemy and every assignment that has been loosed against him and decree no weapon formed against him shall prosper. And Father, we just thank you for the open heaven and for the freedom and the ability to tune in directly to you, Father, without any interference and to deliver that which you will give him. And so we bless him and we thank you for him. In Messiah Yeshua. And so, ladies and gentlemen, receive the ministry of Minister George Ray.
Shabbat shalom. So before
I was given an assignment that I just want to make sure that you are connected. Are we good? Not yet. Of course, with technology, let me
say
get
while
in
you
front.
Work on that.
Thank
I'm going
to
say what Father was speaking to me when I was sitting down. He said the ministers are going to be raised up, so apostle can be released because he needs to set up HOIs in other regions, in other places. So we need to step up so that apostle can go and feel confident when he leaves that things won't be messed up. Things everything will be decent and in order. While he's away.
I mean, so we're almost there. So give me just another minute. There we go. And I'm certainly looking forward to that day.
Amen. Yeah. The last time I was here was during Pesach and Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I remember Apostle, he said, we were just talking about that. I said, he needed laborers. He needed other people to step up. And he said, so he started with discipleship training. No one stepped up. I'm paraphrasing. Then he did leadership training. No one stepped up. He did minister one and two. And I was a part of all those trainings. He did minister one and two. And no one stepped up. And then Brother Scott and myself were sitting right there, and then I saw Apostle look like this, and I don't see him do that often, but I saw his head turn like this and said, and still, so praise the Father. I wish I stepped up then, because part of the ministry training, at the end of ministry training too, you have to submit a teaching, and that's between 15 and 30 minutes, and I submitted a teaching, and it was a nice, soft, lovely teaching. This one is a harder message, and when Father spoke to me, Brother Ronald was teaching. And he was teaching on there's the salvation in the name of Jesus, that one. And so when he did that one, there was so much confusion on Facebook. There's two different Facebook pages. There was so much confusion on YouTube. I had to just put my phone down and just watch it on the screen because there was so much confusion. And you could just see people came on saying that they've never tuned in before, but this message popped up on YouTube and they came on here. And what is this that we're talking about? So when it was all said and done, even after the Q&A that went on in-house, when it was all said and done, Father said, you need to go out there and teach on. He said, go out to House of Israel and speak on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I always call it HOI. I'm previously in the military. We always had acronyms. So I would say HOI. Father said, you need to go out to House of Israel and teach on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And so I started the process. I told a few of the brethren that I know that what Father told me, just so I could have it out there so that I could be held accountable. so that if a few weeks went by, they would say, hey, brother, where you at with that teaching? So, yeah, I put it out there so that I had to step forward. Father told me, and I didn't want this to be my Nineveh moment. So I'll begin. And I also want to come in agreement with your prayer. Praise the Father. Father, we just come to you right now. We thank you and praise you for this Shabbat. Father, I come and agree with my sister, and I ask you, Father, to give me your words, Father, to let me speak what you've given me, Father, and not my own, Father. I love you. I praise you. And we all just come together today, and we'll break bread today as you've commanded for this weekly feast, Father, in Yeshua's precious holy name. Amen. Today's message, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 17, restoration. I've been following with Arthur Bailey for about the last 12, 13 years. And I remember a teaching he did a long time ago. Someone told him, Apostle, you need to slow down when you're reading. You read really fast and I can't keep up. So don't worry, you won't get that today from me, because I'm going to go real slow. And I'm going to repeat myself several times, because it's only 17 verses. So, all right, this is restoration. And I've heard reconciliation several times today. That ties along with the restoration, reconciliation. So it's been said by two people today. Please subscribe for updates on our website. Watch us on YouTube. Check out the shorts and videos. Those are really nice, because a lot of times I send the teaching to friends and to loved ones and family, and they say, "Whew, I don't have 5 hours. That teaching is 5 hours." And I was like, okay, let me send them these shorts. And on the 5 hours, I want to tell you this. I watched from beginning to end. And Apostle Arthur Bailey is always giving nuggets. It's not just a teaching. He's always giving nuggets. Whether it's when he taught us on change, listening to how change sounds. When it jiggles a little different, because you have real silver coins in your pocket. So be aware of what you've just picked up. You know, that was a long time ago. That was just a little nugget he had threw out there. When he teaches us not to claim things. So when he's doing the prayer and someone says, well, they say I have such and such. Apostle always stops him right there. Hold on, don't claim that. Sister Sharon's real good at that too. Don't claim that. And so even one more nugget. When Apostle spoke on the alfalfa, I went and ordered some alfalfa. My blood pressure has been great taking that alfalfa. Sister Sharon talked about the I believe it's red yeast rice. I ordered that. I went to have my checkup. My cholesterol was the best it's been since I was like 20. So these are just like little nuggets. So if you watch from beginning to end, you won't miss the extra information that's being brought forth. So that's what I do. So I'm still sending out the shorts for the people who don't want to, you know, start off. But once they get a few shorts in them, I pray that it will bring them to the full meal. So you can watch us on Instagram at Arthur Bailey. Follow us on the social media networks, Facebook at Arthur Bailey, Instagram, TikTok. Please like and share our videos and posts. They really do help. We've been sending videos to friends for years, and then they'll pop up after we started doing the corporate prayer. They said, I've been watching for the last few years, I just haven't told you. Or I've been watching for the last year, I just haven't told you. And then they'll ask for more information. So we've noticed that you just keep sending them. They may not be responding right away, but you keep sending them. Because it helps. And you never know where they're at when they watch a particular video. And that could help. So at the end of today's teaching, you will be able to ask questions, receive prayer, give your tithes and offering. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. All right, this is a declaration. This declaration, I say it every time I watch a teaching, not just on Shabbat. Every time I pull up the teachings when I'm going to the gym, I pull up the teachings when I'm in my car driving. But every time this declaration is here, I declare it because it means something to me. And so, last time I was here, I gave a testimony about how I was healed. I have movement. I had two strokes in 2017. First of all, I purposely came today without my wife because I wanted to button my suit. I wanted to tie my tie. I wanted to do these things on my own because I couldn't do these the last time I came. So, praise the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, excuse me, I was doing occupational therapy, and at the end they do a test to see where you're at versus where you were when you came in. And across the board, I was at least 100%. Across the board, I was 100% better. In one area, I was 800%, she said. And the therapist, she was sitting there, and she wanted me to pat myself on the back. And I pointed, and I said, "Praise the Father." And she said, "No, Mr. Ray, that's you. That's all your hard work." And I had to rebuke her. And I said, "No. I said, that's the Father. That's my Father in heaven." And so then she tucked the knot, and she didn't push it again. So I praise the Father, because I just thank him for his goodness and his mercies. Hallelujah. So now I'm going to go over the declaration. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Hallelujah. Prayer. Father, we thank you for today. Once again, I ask you to just put your words in me, Father. Let me say exactly what you would have me to say. Anything that's from me, just have it fall, Father, and let them be received, your words and your words only. I just praise you. I give you all the glory. I thank you for the healing that you've done in me. As our sister prayed and said, she believes that people will be healed today. Stand at your home. Stand here, wherever you are. Just stand and declare your healing when the apostle prays at the end. I thank you and I praise you for all that you've done. In Yeshua's name. Ooh, the title of today's teaching is Restoration. While my wife was helping me put my PowerPoint, you know, Word documents together, she gave me the title. And as I continue meditating and studying for today's message, restoration really grew on me. Because Father told me to go teach on 2 Thessalonians. He didn't tell me the title. So when my wife, she was putting together, she said, restoration. And it really grew on me. And so that's what I said, restoration, reconciliation, they just tie in. And then last night's teaching, the replay. There were several points from last night's teaching that you're going to hear in today's teaching. Apostle Ndubuisi was teaching for the last few days, and a lot of his points that he hit on are going to be in today's teaching. So this teaching was made months ago, but there's a process to make sure that when you are going to teach at HOI, you're going to present truth, and it has to be vetted. Let me say that. So there was a process. So it was made. So anything else that Father puts on me, he's going to put on me today, But these PowerPoints were made, you know, a while back. So we know Messiah came to restore what the Adams gave away. That's that reconciliation. That's that restoration. We know Yeshua came to restore the Torah back to what his father gave. And not to the traditions of the man-made law that they would add that made it no effect. We know that Yeshua taught us by what he said and did. In this teaching, you will hear from his apostles, who taught what he taught and walked how he walked. When people would come and say they want to be like a Paul or a Timothy, they would always say, no, be like Messiah. Don't try to walk as me, walk as Messiah. When Messiah was here and people would want to come and praise him after he did a miracle or after he multiplied food, he would say, no, not me, it's my Father in heaven. So he always pointed back to the Father. So he was here for that purpose, for reconciliation, for restoration. So he taught and walked. The apostles who taught as he taught and walked how he walked. When they learned that others would creep in after they taught the brethren and another doctrine of other messiahs, we see them address it immediately. Other than messiahs, we see them address it immediately and call it what it was. At the end of this teaching, my prayer is for restoration in the body of Messiah. I pray for clear understanding of what it means in John 10:10. And I didn't give the scripture because this is a discipleship learning center. So we all will go and look that up afterwards, because we are here to learn. It's not what you would call a church where someone just sits and spoon feeds you. We're all going to go and look that message up. See, what is John 10:10? And we realize that we cannot just be on defense. We must be on offense in the kingdom of Jehovah in order to be restorers or repairs of the breach. That's Isaiah 58:12-14. When I was 5 years old, kindergarten, my teacher asked me, what did I want to be when I grew up? The assignment required I had to draw a picture of myself and the answer. I drew myself behind a pulpit, and I wrote, a pastor. When I was part of the church, that was my goal. That was the top seat in the building, and I wanted it. Now, let me fast forward a little bit now. When I was in the eighth grade, I asked my pastor if I could work with the women and teach in children's church. After all his questions were exhausted and I passed his quiz, I was given a position in children's church. When I was part of the assemblies that celebrated the holidays, not the holy days, I wanted to be a preacher. When I was part of the assemblies that taught the law was nailed to the cross, I wanted to be a preacher. When I was a part of the assemblies that taught only two of every animal was on the ark, I wanted to be a preacher. Now I can go on and on with all the falsehoods I was given in the church. But for the sake of time, I'll put that on pause. I almost was going to try something, because this is a discipleship center. I was going to try something and say, could everybody put a comment? And you can't use the same comment that a previous person used, but can everyone put a comment in the chats on YouTube of a falsehood that you learned in the church? But we'd probably be here till Monday. So I said, let me not go there. So I'll put that on pause. I also want to say that in the kingdom of Jehovah, being a pastor is a good thing. When a pastor is teaching what Messiah taught his disciples and the apostles to go out and to teach the nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever he's commanded you, that we can see this teaching who they represent. So let me go over that again, because I kind of looked away. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, then we can see in this teaching who they represent. These will not be my words, but scripture that has foretold these things would happen. 2 Corinthians 11, 13-15. I'm just giving you a few before we start the Thessalonians. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Messiah. I'm gonna do that again. Deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Messiah. So they're false apostles. They're false apostles. And no marvel, for Satan himself. I had that lowercase. Word must have put it back to capital, because I had a lowercase word. Word must have did it. But Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So he has false ministers working on his behalf. And they're working. And these false ministers are telling us not to do works. It's not by work. No. It's just love. It's just love. Not works. But let me not get ahead. So from the Strong's, minister. It's used 20 times. Servant. Strong's Greek, 1249. I'm sorry. Minister 20 times. Servant. Deacon. Three times. And so it says, one who executes the commands of another. A servant, attendant, minister. So then number two is a deacon who, by virtue of the office assigned to him by the church, cares for the poor and has charge and distributes the money collected for their use. So he has his own team. He has his own squad. He has his own workers. He has his own ministers. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians, and he sent this greeting from Silas and Timothy. He wrote this letter as a follow-up after being with the Thessalonians in person. Once he leaves The thief comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. Apostle says many times, you need to have something to write with, something to write on. He talks about driving and pulling over so he can write it down before he loses it. Because the devil wants to steal it as soon as it's given. So we got Paul, we got Silas and Timothy, and they're out there teaching them. And they're spending time, and they're breaking bread, and they're fellowshipping. And as soon as they leave, the devil wants to come and steal it. But we'll see in a few. And what does he want to steal? Father's word. 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, and by our gathering together unto him. If you see me skip the italics sometimes, because that's not in the actual manuscript, so that those are added. So sometimes I'll read the italics, but sometimes I'll just skip them if you could understand it without having to read it. So, who's Paul writing to? Let's see, who's he writing to? He said, now we beseech you, brethren. So he's writing to the brethren. Yes, we know it's the Thessalonians, but he called them brethren. He's writing to the body of Messiah. Paul was not writing to the world. He wasn't writing to other religions. He wasn't writing to kings or presidents. Paul was writing to the brethren, the ones that he once broke bread with. Verse 2. That ye not be shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters, as from us. Those are all ways that the devil can come in and try to sneak and steal that word. He could try to steal it by spirit, by word, or by letter. That's counterfeit. That's a counterfeit letter. That's a counterfeit letter. And for the longest time, throughout these years, just growing and being a disciple at HOI, House of Israel, being a disciple here, I would hear about how pastors would copy and paste messages. They would just have you jump. All right, let's turn, and you're going to get a couple words. Let's jump to, and so you don't get to truly learn the word because you're jumping. And by the time you get home, you don't remember. Oh, how was that service? Oh, it was great. What'd they talk about? Well, I don't know, but it was great. Did you see Sister Betty's shoes? Man, those were nice. So, so don't be shaken in mind or troubled by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as if it's from us. Because those messages, the way they can copy and paste, I said a long time ago, I told my wife this maybe like 10 years ago, I said, that reminds me of a ransom letter. In the ransom letters, they would take a piece from this magazine, from this newspaper, from this article, and they would put it together to make a message. So then they could send it off, and you couldn't tell who was sending it. But this is a ransom letter. And so I said that maybe about 10 years ago, like, that reminds me of a ransom letter. So we must have been held hostage, because they usually have the ransom letters for people who were held hostage. I'm just saying, that just came out. But Yeshua, nor by letter from us, but that day that Yeshua Messiah is at hand. Have you ever shared the word with someone and you could see it was received? I mean, you may have been there spending hour upon hour and you felt good when you left. You just, oh, praise the Father. You just felt good. You could see it was received. But then the next time you see them, they were shaking in mind because their pastor, a friend, or a different, you know, they received a different word from someone else. Oh, well, that's not what it means. You don't remember, you can eat anything, because it came in a dream and it said you can eat anything. So then you can walk them through the entire chapter and show them, that's not what it meant, bro. And they'll understand it then, but when they go away, the devil's stealing that word again. Even though they got it one time from you, they've heard it 100 times. They've heard it 1,000 times. So what's deeply seated in them, you're not going to get it out with one conversation. And sometimes you can, because there could be a break. There could be a break. If they were called and there was a break right then, you can. But a lot of times that's deeply seated in them. If we all look back and we say, how long did it take me to walk away from that? Because I knew about this at this point, I'm like, but I didn't walk away until this point. So how long did it take us? So we can't get frustrated. That's where praying for the laborers of the harvest is very important. It used to be a corporate fast and prayer. Now it's a corporate prayer. My wife and I, we would fast. And that's when people started coming, and we would pray. This is when the people would start coming and contacting us, that we had been sowing seed for years. But then they made contact and let us know, hey, I'm watching. And then they have a question. Hey, could you help me out with this? And then we're there to answer it. So that's where that comes through. So praise the Father, we'll be doing that, I believe, after Shabbat. Hallelujah. So have you ever shared the word with someone and you see it was received? And the next time you saw them, they were shaking in mind because their pastor or a friend gave them a different word. I have many times, and now I know why. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. A falling away is Strong's in the Greek, 646. A falling away, defection. I'm 50 years old, born in 1973. So I remember when they used to say, oh, this person just defected from Russia. That was the thing that it was like the propaganda they used to push back then. So I understand what defection means. Now we don't really hear defection. But they would make it like, this person has totally turned away from Russia. And now it's coming to America to be American. And they're going to, you know, denounce their country for all the wrong. That's what you get when you think of defection. And so, a falling away, a defection in the Bible, namely from the true religion. That's what Strong said. Not me, the Strong. So I thank Brother Ron for when you did the teaching, you said don't kill the messenger. Because I was feeling like there might be some people out there on the internet who don't want to kill the messenger. Because we're not there yet. We're only in, what, verse 4? 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped. So let no man deceive you, for on that day come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called Elohim. So this dragon wants to oppose himself and sit as if he's Elohim. He has false ministers teaching and doing works. Because it said they'll be judged by their works. And he's setting up false ministries telling that you don't have to do works. You don't have to work. I'm going to say that's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. So don't fall for it. Don't believe it. And know that we are to work. That's what being part of the body is. We all have a different position to play. We have a different part in a role in this ministry and in this body. So, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped. So we learned that praise and worship had been hijacked a long time ago. We had to learn the definition of worship, true worship. We had to learn it. And we learned it because, praise the Father, Apostle Bailey has been being that example to bring the truth and combat the lies that we were given. And so as we continue to grow as ministers here at HOI, using the discipleship training, the Hebrews University, that we can grow and we can be confident so that when someone comes to us with a lie, when someone comes to try to steal from us, we are able to say, hey, can you show me that in scripture? Because I used to be, you know, I want to hit you with that scripture. When Apostle has been saying that over, that's one of those little beautiful nuggets you can get by watching from beginning to end. But when he would say, hey, can you show me that in scripture? A soft answer. Ooh, that's way better than coming with the... I remember when I first got into the Hebrews, my brother-in-law, and I, my brother-in-law wrote Apostle a letter years ago. And he was in prison. And I know how he writes, all caps and this and that. He said, Apostle didn't answer me. I said, because you didn't ask him a question. all you did is write him a letter telling him how you felt, telling him these things. So I'm sure he said, oh, okay. But if you would have asked him a question, he would have answered your question. Because this is a discipleship learning center. And so we have grown. And so when him and I were tag team people, it was kind of like that scared straight. I don't know if you ever seen that show back in the day where they were going to prisons and they would, you want to be in a gang? And they would just get in their face and they would yell at them and try to scare them. Well, I can't scare you into the word. I can't scare you into the scripture. So that soft answer turns away wrath. And so it's like, okay, that's cool. Can you show me in scripture? And so it was about 3 weeks ago. I spoke to someone with that and I'm still waiting for them to show me. And my wife said, baby, they won't show you in scripture because it's not in there. And I said, I know, but I'm still waiting for them to come back with their response. Because what it does is it makes them have to dive into scripture themselves to try to remember where they first saw that in the word. But it's not there. I can say this because it was given as a testimony before. Our brother Scott was here a couple years back when he first came and he gave his testimony. And he talked about he was reading the word to his wife. And his wife was following along with him. And she said, baby, like, I'm paraphrasing Scott. She said, you know, it doesn't say that. And he was like, no, it does. It's right here. And she said, no, it doesn't say that. And then they went over and they read it together because he had to take those blinders off because he grew up and he had them blinders on from what he was given. So you have to take those blinders off. And then he was able to see. And that's when he started fellowshipping with HOI. And that's when he began this walk. So if we could just help to take the blinders off, but with a soft word, can you show me that in scripture? That has helped so many times. And it keeps your spirit in that calm, cool place too. Because sometimes you can get right out of apostles. Don't take on their spirit. You don't want to take on their spirit. So, okay, can you show me that in scripture? So, all right, we see that. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he as Elohim sitteth in the temple of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. Didn't he want that when he got stomped out of heaven? When he got sent down here and a third of the angels followed? So if he's that conniving and deceitful that a third of the angels are willing to follow him and they've been up there in Father's presence, who are we to think that we can't be deceived? No, I'm too smart for that. Well, that was the first deception right there. You think you're too smart for it. Get in the word, build yourself up, and then it will help block being deceived. But so we've already seen in 2 Corinthians that Satan would transform his ministers as the ministers of righteousness. Now in verse 4, in 2 Thessalonians, we see that the thief wants to sit in the temple as if he's Elohim. Let me say it again, as if. Showing himself that he is Elohim. You see. We know he's not. Because we know we now have ears to hear and we have eyes to see. We used to be out there lost, but now we're found. We must remember and remember how long it took us to take those religious blinders off. That is why we have the monthly corporate prayer. We want to reap the lost, and we need the laborers that are few to become many. Many. We must be on the offense and teach as Messiah taught by what he did and what he would say. Oh, sorry, and what we say. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such are false apostles. I know I read this once, but we had to hit it again. Are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Messiah. And no marvel, there goes lowercase, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I had to hit this again after the first several verses of Thessalonians, because it just needs to sit in. It needs to simmer. It needs to marinate. When you marinate meat, if you just put a little seasoning on some meat and throw it in the pan, okay, the outer's cooked. But when you marinate it, it gets into that meat. So we just need this to marinate with us. We need to, I don't know, when we go home today, after Shabbat, we need to just let it marinate and let Father talk to us and say, Father, what did you mean? If we don't have a clear understanding. 2 Thessalonians, verse 5. And I want to give a PSA. I told my wife that because I could already feel before I did it that some people are going to be out there, you're just preaching down to us. You're just preaching. No, this was first given to me years ago. Years ago. So when Father said, you're going to go out to the house of Israel and teach on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I already knew exactly what he meant because he had already given me this years and years ago. And I had to go through the same process. So don't think I'm talking down to anybody. This is my PSA. I'm talking to myself again. And I had to talk to myself when I originally went through it years back. So 2 Thessalonians 2:5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So when they were there breaking bread, he told them that these things would happen. It kind of reminds me of when the Father gave that song to them in the wilderness. And he told you these things would happen. Here's a song. Sing about it. So that you can, you know, memorize this. Remember this. And yet it still happened. So he is deceitful. He is a thief. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. He's on his job. He's on his offense all the time. So we need to be on defense. But then the way he's on his offense, we need to be on our offense as well. It's just not one side. So he said, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Oh, I had these in my notes. I'm sorry. Paul is reminding them that he already gave them a heads up. And when he was with them, he told them that this would happen. And now it has come. We have the scriptures and we can read it for ourselves. So why do some act like they do not understand why these things are happening? I will remind us, the thief. That was one of the questions after Brother Ronald's teaching that came in-house. And it was like, kind of, it wasn't that exact, but it was kind of like, why are these things, you know, happening? And it was the thief. The thief. The thief. And we may still be holding on to some traditions very deep. We may still be holding on to, I don't know, some mindset. That we still, because I'm 50. So like the first 30 years I was in the church. So I have a lot that I still may have been holding on to deep somewhere. So this is the time that I ask Father, show me, Father, and I'll repent from them. And when we say repent, we know that that means to turn away. It's not to say I'm sorry, you know, like we were taught. It's just, oh, that's it's like sorry. No, it's to turn away. We're going to turn away from that. So we have the scriptures and we could read it for ourselves. So why do we act like they do not understand why these things are happening? I will remind us once again, the thief. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That means it's already happening then. I was taught that this is supposed to just be in the future. When this scripture was taught to me in church. Oh, this is in the future. It says it's already at work. He told me it was going to happen. He left. It's happening. He heard about it. He has to write a letter to him and remind him. I told you it was going to happen. So he's trying to, once again, build them up again. Just remember. So the mystery of iniquity that's already work. And he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Strong's, once again in the Greek, 458. The condition of one without law, that's iniquity. Iniquity is lawlessness. But we've been taught you don't have to keep the law. You don't have to keep the law. So I know everyone in here knows to keep the law. Everyone here knows that Messiah is our Savior. We're not saved by the law, but he is our Savior. And how do we know we're living right? How do we know that we're pleasing our Father who's in heaven? Because we're going to walk how Messiah walked. He kept the law. Oh, well, that's because he hadn't died yet. He hadn't died yet. So once he died, everything was nailed to the cross. Not true. Not true. That's another lie. It's deceitfulness. It's deceitfulness. And so I'm here today to bring reconciliation to the body. I'm here today to bring restoration to the body. And I'm talking to my brethren, just as Paul wrote to his brethren. So anyone who's on screen watching, whether it be your tablet, phone, internet, computer, whatever, your big screen TV, I pray that you're hearing this message and that you go and pull up each scripture. The slides are here. Pull up each scripture. And then you will see by Father's word that his word is true. You will see what you were handed. They were traditions and lies from your fathers. And that there will be a repentance and a turning back to Father. That's what Messiah came to do. And we can see as soon as he left, they jumped right on the game to destroy what he came and what he lived and what he walked out and what he showed. Showed us the way of how to walk. And we're at an advantage. We have the entire Bible. They didn't have that. You know, we have the entire Bible. They didn't have revelations yet. So we're able to look at that and we're able to take things and piece it together. And we're like, oh, thank you, Father. So we are at an advantage. But let's not be caught slipping because we're not applying what we have in front of us into our lives. All right. So it says, iniquity. It's a condition one without law, either because they're ignorant of it, and most of us were ignorant of it at one point, or because they're directly violating it. So if we take the word and we give it to them and we show them, they choose not to do it, that's that violation because you're willing to violate it. But either way, you're violating it, either without knowing or purposely doing it because you know, and you just refuse to accept it. So we know that it says that sin feels good for a season. And it says a season. So if we think of some things that happen, if you're out there having relations and you're not married and you have a child out of wedlock, you have that child for the rest of your life. That sin felt good for that season, but now you have a relationship with a person that you may not have wanted to really know like that, but because you've put yourself in that situation. Other things that you may have got a disease from that activity. That's going to be with you for a long time unless Father heals you. And that was, if it was fun, it was fun during the time, but is it fun having to take a pill or go get a shot or you get these little things on your lip for the next 50 years, that's not fun. Sin is fun for a season. Lawlessness. We have been told not to keep the law. Who's been telling us that? It's not the world. Because the world keeps the government's laws. Then who's been telling us? Oh, yes, I remember. It's the ministers transformed as the ministers of righteousness. They've been telling us. It's the ministers transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Now I know what Matthew 7, 21 through 23 means. And I gave you that one. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And see, in the church, it was full of deceitfulness. They never told us what iniquity meant. They didn't tell us to go get your Strong's so you could look it up and see what iniquity means. But you know, we learn that here through discipleship training. You learn all the tools you need so that you could study for yourself, so that you don't have to just take the word of someone else. You will study. Amen. So we learn that iniquity means lawlessness. Lawlessness is running rampant in the church. We are not the church. We are the ecclesia. We are the brethren. We are the body. It's because when we think of the church, we think of the church, you know. When you think of the story of Jesus, and if I go out and I just quiz some people on the street and say, can you tell me about his birth? I'm sure they'll tell me, oh, yes, he was born in a manger. He had three wise men there at his birth, and they brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I'm like, can you show me that in scripture? And then I could go and show them. They didn't get there. The wise men didn't get there until he was almost about two, and they had to leave to go to Egypt. But they can tell you that story. Where'd they get that from? Because it's not in scripture. Where did it come from? So lawlessness is running rampant in the church. We are not the church. We are the body of Messiah. We are the brethren that Paul spoke about. Right now we have an Apostle Bailey, that has worked for many years tearing down the falsehood that has been given by the churches, not the world. The world didn't give us that falsehood. It was the churches. The world's doing the world. We didn't have a little sidebar. Last night, I flew in yesterday. I arrived about 2 hours before Shabbat. I got my rental car, checked into my hotel. I'm like, okay, cool. Got everything ready. Had to, like, touch up my suit because it got all wrinkled. Praise the Father, I've been healed so I could touch up my suit. So I'm in there and I'm preparing. And then right about 10 o'clock, I close my eyes. I say, okay, because back home, I have to be ready for HOI at 9 a.m. I'm like, out here it's 11. So that's like, I get to sleep in a little bit. So I was at about 10 o'clock. I was ready to go to bed. And I laid down. I closed my eyes at 10:10. Because I woke up. I was asleep for 10 minutes, y'all. I woke up. I looked at my phone at 10:10. The people in the room next to me were fighting. The people in the hall. And usually when we come out here, I come as a family unit. We rent an Airbnb, you know, something like that. But I said, it's just me. I'm going to go and just rent the hotel room. I forgot how Friday nights are because I've been keeping Sabbath for the last 30 years. I forgot how Friday nights were. So, you know, the entire hotel smelled. I looked at my sign. I booked a no smoking room. But I looked at the sign on my door just to check and make sure. But they're smoking cigarettes. They're smoking those other herbs. It was getting to my throat, so I had to rebuke the devil. I had to get up several times through the night and drink water. But I didn't have a great rest for a while until I did something. I took my tablet and I plugged it in so that it would stay charged through the night. And I put it on HOI and I let the teaching just go to drown out because there were several fights out there. And people were coming out saying those sites that record and they like to put the fights on and... So they were coming out and doing that, and I was like, man, they were finding joy in what was going on. And I said, this is not going to, like, disturb my spirit. I said, this is an attack, and I refuse to let it get me going. So I just prayed. I just said, Father, help me get some sleep. So throughout the night, several times, I was woken by fights, people having conversations right outside my door. At some point, somebody came and knocked on my door to try to come in. I didn't even respond because they weren't for me. And then they went next door. And then it was another fight. So, yeah, I was like, what? I'm not used to this. Like, but right now we have an apostle in Arthur Bailey that has worked for many years tearing down the falsehoods that have been given to us by the churches and not by the world. Apostle has continued as the apostles in the book of Acts. Each week, he is restoring the truth that was once given to the saints. When there was not any discipleship training for the brethren, he taught on it. He created Disciple 101. I believe it's 101, right? Because I know we say 101. But when I give it to people, I want to make sure it's 101. And they're like, oh, I couldn't get on because I did a O. So 101.tv. And for all to learn. That's restoration. So Apostle has been playing this part in restoration for many years. I remember early on at the first site, he would say, if there's no one here, I'm still going to preach to myself. I'm still going to preach to myself because he knew. Father told him what to do. He did it. And then it's built up. HOI is across the world. And we're not done yet. there's more to be built, but he has to be released to know I can leave for 3 weeks. And then say Father says stay another two. He's like, all right, I'll stay another two. But he knows that somebody will step up that's been vetted and come and teach. So praise the Father. Verses 8 through 9. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So here you could say, okay, that's at that future date. But the other part, when he said that that was happening now, that was already happening now. But this whole chapter has been taught as if it was all in the future. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. So that they could keep pushing the lawlessness. We learn that there's two of every animal going on the ark. That's what we were taught and we learned, because they didn't want to talk about the seven clean of every male and female. They didn't want to say that, because then they can't justify going to Denny's afterwards and getting some bacon. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, no corporations. But just going out to eat afterwards and getting some bacon, or going and getting some ham. You can't justify that if you're teaching about the law. You have to just push it all aside. You have to leave that out. So when I said that, I was in the eighth grade and I was teaching in children's church. I taught on the seven clean, male and female. And they were like, what are you doing? I said, I'm reading the scripture. This is what it says. I'm reading the scripture. And so I just want to leave that there. And then the wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. All. So he's not limited. Now we know that he's been placed under our feet. So he has no dominion. He has no power over us. You have to do like the Adams and give him your authority. So don't give him your authority. It says, what will he do? It says he'll come and he'll try to speak to us. But it says, resist the devil and he will flee. Because he's about his business. And so he's on the offense. So if I can't get this one right here, let me move and get these 1,000 over here. So resist the devil and he will flee. The thief is coming with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So let us recap. He set up false ministers. He wants to sit in the temple and be worshipped as if he is Elohim. And he's doing signs and lying wonders. I remember when I first learned Messiah's name. It's Yeshua. I went to a former pastor. Okay, let me say this. I used to be SDA at a certain point because I kept looking. I grew up in the Baptist church. At some point, I was Catholic. I remember my mom until I was about five. I was Catholic. Then we pulled away from there. We pulled away from there when I was healed at the age of five from asthma. When a pastor on TV said, there's a young man who's 5 years old out there who has asthma. And just stand up and claim your healing right now. So I stood. I happened to be laying on my mom's bed. We were all watching TV. I stood up. She's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, that's me. I got down. I went in front of the TV. That's when you have those big giant TVs. With the wood and all that. And I stood in front of the TV and I was like, this is me. And then I was healed. I never had asthma since then. Hallelujah. So at that point, my mom was like, let's go from this Catholic church to a Christian church, because that was a Christian pastor on a TV station. So I remember I first learned Messiah's name and I went to my pastor, because I was keeping Sabbath since I was, my daughter's 29 now. So for like the last 28 years, I've been keeping Shabbat. But early on, it was through what I learned from SDA. Because I saw Sabbath in the scriptures, but nobody around was doing it. So I went to an SDA church. But there was no power, once again. Because after we would finish going to service, we would go out to eat with the pastor. It's still Sabbath. We're just out there having a good, jolly good time. And I say this because we're supposed to have a holy convocation. So that's why when we're amongst the brethren, we can kind of keep it a holy convocation. But when we put ourselves out there in other places, can we make that place holy with all that's there, with the conversations that are going on at other tables? And we know how they can. Growing up, I used to correct someone when my children were, like I said, my oldest 29. When she was like 3, 4, 5, I would stop at someone in the tracks if they were swearing at their table, and that's their table. But that was me. I was ready to, hey, watch your mouth. Don't you see my daughter here? But you can't control them, and we're not supposed to control them. Trying to control someone else's witchcraft, right? So we're not supposed to try to control them. All I can do is be aware of my surroundings. So if I don't put myself in that situation, I don't have to worry about all that happening and being offended. So I'll go back again. I remember when I first learned Messiah's name was Yeshua, and that was from my brother-in-law when he was in prison. He wrote me, and he knew that I kept Sabbath, but I still went to a Sunday church. My family kept Sabbath, but I was going to a Sunday church. And I'll have a story for that in the end. It's not in the slides, but that was just put on me. I'll have that in the end. But he was writing me letters for like 6 months, and he kept saying, I have something to tell you. I have something to tell you. Because back when I was doing SDA, we had the Ten Commandments, and they pushed other things on you. But they focused on the Ten Commandments, and it was like a worship of that day. And we know that Father made man, he made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. So it's just one of the blessings that he's given us. It's a blessing. And I saw it last night after all this time. I'm like, whoa, I'm not used to this because I haven't been out on a Friday night in all those years. So I'm not used to it. And I still wasn't out. I was in my room. But I was hearing what out is. I was hearing what out is like. Praise the Father. So I remember when I first learned Messiah's name. Is Yeshua. I went to my former pastor. He was my current pastor at the time. And I told him. And we were kind of like one-on-one. We were in the sanctuary. We were one-on-one talk. No, my wife was there too. But it was just us. No one else was around. And he said, yeah, I know. And he said, but haven't you called the name of Jesus? And he answered. He also said, I didn't put that in here. He also said, yeah, I know, but they're not ready for it. How are they not ready for it? When that was first given, it's been taken away. It's been stolen by that thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So how are they not ready for what was already out there? This isn't something new. I got a new message. No, it's not a new message. This is the old message. Let's go back to the truth. Let's go back to Messiah. So he said, I know, but haven't you called on the name of Jesus? And he answered. And when I thought about it, that's when I called on the name when I was in front of that TV at 5. So I said, okay, well, I'll keep the name. I won't go and try to push it for other people here then. But he was able to shut me down there where I'm not taking it to other people. We were still there. My wife was teaching children's church. And we would teach on the Ten Commandments. And we would put an emphasis on the Fourth Commandment. So children were going home and they were telling their parents, you know we're supposed to keep Sabbath. And so it was causing a stir. And he didn't address it with us because he knew it was scripture. So he didn't, but it was causing a stir. At the time, I was in charge of a ministry. It was called Breakfast in a Bag, where I would go and I would feed the homeless where they were. I would meet you, and I would have your breakfast and enough for lunch, too, in a bag. And so we went all throughout the city, and we would just provide the homeless. So Father told me, when he told me to step away, I'm going to tell you in the end, because it's not in my slides. He told me how to step away, and he gave me a scripture. But for what we read this far, I pose a question that only you can answer at the end of the teaching, because I'm not going to try to answer for anyone. I'm just going to give you the scriptures and let you. My question is, did Yeshua answer me when I called on the name? Because I didn't call on Yeshua, but did he answer me? Or did the one who wants to sit as if he is Elohim, answer me. While I was under another doctrine, other than the one Messiah taught. While I was under a doctrine that we don't have to keep the commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you say you love me and you don't, you're lying. The truth is not in you. So I had to be honest with myself. So I'm just saying this is for me. This is for me. I'm not trying to, for anyone, this is for me. I had to be honest with myself. And I had to examine. And I just say, okay, I was doing these and this, and I did this and this and this. Am I going to be told I never knew you? I knew there was something else out there. So I went from Catholic to Christian to SDA. I went non-denominational after SDA because I was like, they keep the Sabbath, but it's not, there's so much missing. It wasn't until my brother-in-law in prison wrote us and presented the Torah to us. He had a roommate who was a rabbi. And he invited the rabbi to come to Bible study one day. Because my brother-in-law, he played the guitar, and he was like, we're going to go to Bible study. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great time. He invited the rabbi. He said, no, I can't go with you. And he said, why? Come on, it's going to have a great time. You get to get out your cell. We get to go. He said, because we don't serve the same God. That was his reply. That was his answer. We don't. He said, whoa. Yeah, we do. And so after Bible study, because he went to Bible study, he played his guitar. And when he came back, the rabbi started showing him things in Scripture and teaching him. And he said, this is what you believe. This is what Scripture says. Now, I'm not going to say, oh, everything that this person, because I call him my own rabbi. So everything that this person said, I wasn't there. I can't say that he gave him 100% truth. I can just say this was used to pull him from where he was at. And so with that, he learned to read Hebrew. He started writing his letters. He's like, I want to tell you something. But he said the same thing. He said, I don't know if you're ready for it. I was like, what is this ready for thing, you know? He already knew. Years back, I taught him on you can't eat shrimp. You couldn't eat, you know, lobster, these type of things. Like, bro, don't eat these things. And I showed him the Scripture. So he already knew that I was keeping Sabbath. He knew these things, and still he thought, oh, you won't be ready for it. He thought I was going to reject Messiah's name because I had 30 years of the falsehood. Even in the SDA church, I had a false name, a name that can't be the name because until the 1611 Bible, in the 1611 Bible, you can see in there, it's I-E-S-U-S, some, I believe. Yeah, but it's not a J, so it can't be that name. So why would I reject it? If you show me truth, I'm going to search it out like the Bereans. And I'm going to make sure. I'm not going to just take what you give me, but I'm going to search it out. Give me this assignment. Let me do some work. And that's what I hope that I'm doing when I say, can you show me in Scripture? I hope that I'm giving them an assignment and letting them do some work. So so he would write us for like 6 months and ask me, tell me that he wants to tell me something. He wants to tell me. So we finally went and booked a visit. And I'll tell you this right now. I don't like going behind a prison wall. Because I'm not in prison, and I don't want to feel like I'm in prison, so I don't like going behind the wall. But I went behind this wall to speak to him and to say, what are you trying to tell us? My wife and I, we both went. And I said, what are you trying to tell us? And then that's when he just sat there. And we spent his whole visit going through Scripture and learning Messiah's name, learning the Father's name, learning that we have to keep the entire law, not, you know, whatever's applicable to me as a male, you know, to my wife as a female. So we have to keep the entire law that's instructed for us, and not just the Ten Commandments. So he broke it down, and from that day forward, we started keeping Torah. And so, hallelujah. But I was still at the church for a period of time to where I was doing Breakfast in the Bag. She was doing Children's Church. One day, it was a Sabbath. We had just finished the teaching with the apostle, and I laid on the couch afterwards. I was taking a nap. Everybody else went upstairs. Father woke me up from my nap. And he asked me in that deep, remember Bruno? Remember the story of Bruno? Bruno! Because Bruno was peeing by the front door, and I told that story here as a testimony. Bruno! It was that loud voice, that shaking voice. Bruno! The Father came with the loud voice. I love the soft voice. When I get the loud voice, it's like, okay, you're only going to answer 100% correct. You're not going to even try to think of anything else. It's just going to be quick answer, exactly what it is. So he said, why are you still going to that Sunday church? Father asked me that right there on the couch that day. So before that, I was telling myself, oh, we're doing a good thing. I'm sitting here and I'm teaching the children about the fourth commandment. Because I've been to some churches where they had in their literature, it said the fourth commandment is, be kind to your grandparents. That was in their literature. And so when I pointed it out to them, when you're doing the newcomer, what is it called? The new members class. So it was in new members. So when I pointed out to them, I said, this is not what the Scripture says. Look, it's right here. Oh, we were unaware of that. We buy this literature from the corporate office, you know. And so we're sorry. They didn't get rid of it. They didn't make the adjustments. It still continued on. They just appeased me with their answer. Well, they thought they appeased me. From what we read thus far, I pose a question that you can answer at the end of this teaching. My question is, did Yeshua answer me? Or did the one who wants to sit as Elohim answer me while I was under another doctrine other than the one Messiah taught? Verse 10. Excuse me. That smoke from last night. So keep me in prayer. It was the smoke outside. It was itching my throat. I had to keep getting water. So keep me in prayer while I'm up here. And take a quick sip. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. How much deceivableness? All. It said, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. My goal today is that, my prayer is that everyone on the sound of my voice that hears this will just repent of anything that might be in you that shouldn't be there. Remove all deceivableness so that you might have a love for the truth and be saved. This is my prayer. So all deceivableness and all unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. We're going to jump to Revelations. Now this isn't a copy and paste thing that I put together. This one goes along with it. But I'm giving the entire Thessalonians. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image. That's that thief who wants to be exalted. That's that one who wants you. He sent out ministers. He sent out workers to get you. He's on the offense. He's on the defense. The defense is when you give word and then they come to their pastor, their friend, their loved one. Then he's on defense because he's going to give them something to say to knock down that word. But he's on offense, always looking, going to see who he could devour. Going, that's what he said in Job, right? Going to and fro the earth to see who he could devour. So, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Jehovah and the faith of Yeshua. If the law was nailed to the cross when Messiah died, then why was this given in what we call Revelations? And it says it was given from the Father to Messiah, from Messiah to the angel, from the angel to John. Why was this given? And it's telling us that they that keep the commandments of Jehovah. Once again, Messiah always pointed to the Father when he was here. He came to restore, to reconcile that relationship that we have and point us back to the Father. Because at that time, John came before he came and told him, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was repent, repent. He's letting you know. Why is he talking to them? He said, well, he wasn't talking to the world. He was talking to the brethren. He was talking to the body. Repent, repent, repent. Why did they need to repent? Because they had instituted so many falsehoods into the doctrines and teachings that you couldn't keep my Father's commands. You couldn't keep them. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Jehovah and the faith of Yeshua. Now, we see that scripture like three different ways in Revelations, but it's there three times. I didn't put all three in here, but you'll see that if you, this is a discipleship learning center, so we go and hit Revelation and say, let's find the other two that are similar to that one, where it speaks on having to have the faith of Yeshua and keep your Father's commandments. You'll see it a total of like, I believe it's three times. Correct me if I'm wrong. But Father gave his word in the garden. Father gave his word to Noah and had to do a washing of the entire earth to restore his ways. Father sent a prophet after prophet telling the people to repent and turn from their evil ways. And what we've learned is they always kill the prophets. They don't want to hear it. But does that save them? No, it just saved you a few more days of having to hear it. But every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. So Father sent prophet after prophet, telling the people to repent and turn from their evil ways. Father sent his son, and we know what they did to him. After all that, he sent a strong delusion to them that believe not the truth. That reminds me of Egypt. When it said Pharaoh's heart was hardened, it's like you were doing what you were going to do. So people are like, why would he harden Pharaoh's heart? He was doing it anyway. So Pharaoh was doing these things anyway. So now you're doing it anyway. And as a parent, and we have a large family, and we raise a lot of children. Our last one is 8. Praise the Father. Yes. So you could teach him. I think I just heard Apostle on one of the replays, either on Thursday or last night. Or no, it was in the short. It was in the short. That's why those shorts are important. It was in the short. And he said, you can fast and you can pray, you know, for your children, your family members. You can fast and pray, and you could do it till you're blue in the face. But they have to. They have to want to receive. So with my children, we can tell them over and over and over again, don't touch that pot, it's hot. You're going to burn yourself. Don't touch that pot, it's hot. You can burn yourself. Now, I'm not going to just purposely let them touch the pot still. But if they touch that pot, now they see it's hot. Now I have something to work with and tell them. But Father said he gives them delusion. He's just, they gotta see. They have to see. I gave them a song in the wilderness, and they still did it. I took them out because they wouldn't let my land rest. And when I put them back in there, and I blessed them again. Father blessed them the first time. He blessed them again. And he had the king send them with all these goods to go build up the wall and restore things. When Father blessed them again, now everybody didn't go back because some love the ways. They love Babylon. They love those ways. But the ones who went back, they went back. And as we learned before, they didn't know all the word because stuff was lost in that time being. So when they started reading, they're like, oh, this is how we need to keep the feast. Oh, this is what we need to do. So things are lost. But they rebelled. They rebelled. And each time, this keeps happening over. It's like a broken record. It keeps happening over and over and over again. So my prayer for the brethren is that we take that record off and chuck it. We don't need to be a broken record. We don't need to play it anymore. We just need to be in his word. And for the younger folk, a record was a circular thing that it spun. You had to put a needle on it. I know you guys just pull up everything now. So, but if you still listen to that same song on your MP3, yeah, that's 202. So if you still listen to that same song on your device, whatever it may be, stop listening to that same song. Get into the word. It's time to get into the word. It's time to be righteous. Apostle did a teaching on that. And I remember this. I was, after my stroke, I went to a Bible study that they had there because I was an inpatient for 21 days at an inpatient rehab. I could not walk. I could not wiggle a finger. I couldn't wiggle a toe. I couldn't move like my whole left side. So I had to will myself to Bible study one day. Once you have to get to levels. So once I was able to get into the wheelchair, I willed myself to the Bible study group that they had. And I just went to sit and listen to see what was being taught. I didn't speak the entire teaching until the end. And at the end, when she asked, did I have any questions? I said, yeah, I do. And I just went with the most basic verse that we learned as a child. I said, the one that in the King James, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I said, do you believe in him? And she said, yes, yes. I said, believing in him, if you believe in him, you're going to listen to what he said. You're going to walk as he walked and how he taught. You're not going to listen. If you believe in him, you're not going to believe what's being taught to you by some other person. And so with that, she said, well, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And because I'm a student of discipleship training and staying on from beginning to the end of the teachings, I asked her, I said, well, can you go 1 minute? Can you go 1 minute without sinning? And she said, no. I said, you can't go 1 minute without sinning. We've been here for about an hour. So you've sinned about 60 times in this last hour at the minimum. And she was like, oh, no, no, no. no, no. She was like, no, no, no. She was like, no, no, no. That's not what's happening. I said, well, if you can go 1 minute without sinning, can you go two? If you can go 2 minutes without sinning, can you go three? And so on and so on. And then so she heard it. She took the Sunday's Not the Sabbath book that I gave her. And she read a few pages and she gave it back to me. And she stopped teaching the Bible study. So Father sent a prophet after prophet telling us, Father sent a son. After all that, he sent a strong delusion of them that believe not the truth. Verse 11, 12. And for this cause, Elohim shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So he sent this to them, a strong delusion. After time, after time, after time, after time, he finally gave them the delusion that they all might be damned who believeth not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Because remember, sin feels good for a season. It's pleasurable for a season. It won't be pleasurable in the end. Now I'm going to speed it up a little bit because they held the sign up. So, but we are bound to give thanks always to Elohim for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because Elohim hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Not like in Revelations, he who loves or practices a lie. He who loves or keepeth a lie. He who loves or maketh a lie. Depends on the version you're reading, but they all mean the same thing. 2 Thessalonians, verses 14 and 15. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Master Yeshua Messiah. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. So that's what they taught them when they were there with them. He's saying, hold on to this. Stand fast. Remember, don't let somebody come with that false letter, that counterfeit. 16 and 17. Now our Master Yeshua Messiah himself and Elohim, even our Father, which has loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and work. So we're told to work. Every good word and work. Every good word and what? Amen. So I just want this to be drilled in so that next person that tells us that we're not supposed to, we'll be ready. How did this chapter end? In every good word and work. We've been lied to for far too long by the religious establishments that have been set up by who? By Satan. And he set up false ministers. False ministers. So he can what? Sit as if he's Elohim. With all deceivableness. How did this chapter end? In every good word and work. We have been lied to for far too long by the religious establishments, telling the church members they don't have to work because Jesus did it all for them. As we read in Corinthians, even Satan's false ministers who are transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works, are doing works. They're doing work, but they're trying to tell you not to. That was a mouthful, so to keep it in plain English, the thief who came to kill, steal, and destroy has been telling the church he established under false doctrines to not do works. All the while, he and his ministers are doing the works for his side. He's on offense and defense. It's time for us to be on both sides, offense and defense. Let's not be lukewarm, lest we get vomited out. Today's teaching took years to swallow. When Minister Ronald did his teaching on salvation is not in Jesus, the Most High told me to go to the house of Israel and teach on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I said, yes, it was that voice, that strong. I said, yes. And then I told my wife and I told a few of the brethren, like I said, to hold me accountable. So my wife said, where are you coming with the teaching? How's it going with the teaching? I'm like, babe, I'm working on it. I'm doing it, but I'm doing what Father gives me, you know. So I started off by telling you how much I wanted to be a pastor for a reason. I was in the lawlessness of the religious systems and not in the truth that was given to the saints. I wanted to shine. If y'all seen any pictures from me from junior high, high school, I was vain. When I was a senior in high school, I remember I went and bought 45 outfits so that I would not have to wear the same outfit to school for 45 days. I was vain. I used to love to go to school. I would go to school in a suit sometimes with my trench coat. This is California. It never rains in Southern California. Why am I there? I'm in my suit and a trench coat going to school with my, and they're like, oh, you know, just so I can get the attention. And people are like, oh, you look so nice. What are you doing today? I already had a job. I worked at an Italian restaurant. They're like, so what are you doing? Lie. Oh, I have a job interview. I have a job interview at the school. No. So what I would do is after school, I just go to the mall and just put in an application. But that wasn't a job interview. But in the system I was in, that was okay. That was a white lie. That was okay. I was vain. I wanted to be seen. So I tell you that for this reason. When I did the ministry training, they asked, what did I want to do? And I just wanted to share apostles' teachings with people at our house, because we put up flash screens we have like a fixed garage, you know, so it doesn't look like a garage. It looks like a bonus room. So we have TV set up there. We have in the living room. I just wanted to be able to have different groups, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 people to be able to sit and watch the teachings. And then afterwards, we could fellowship, and then I can go over scripture with them. They can go over scripture with me. We could do like the brethren did. So if you ask Miss Sharon to pull up my sheet, she'll probably be like, oh, yeah, he did. He kept saying, I did not want to be up here. So, but when Father tells you, you go. I remember Apostle said, E.F. Hutton used to say, you know, so it was like that commercial, you know, but when he says it, you do it. So I started off telling you that how much I wanted to be a pastor for a reason. I was in the lawlessness of the religious systems, not in the truth that was once given to the saints. I wanted to shine. Well, that was given to the saints. It wasn't just once. It was given to the saints. I wanted to shine. I was full of pride, and I was under a strong delusion. When Jehovah called me to his truth, you know the truth that sets man free? I no longer wanted to be up front and shine. I wanted Father to shine and let me be a witness from the back. So it's still today. When people come and say, oh, brother, I say, praise the Father. Praise the Father. Oh, brother, praise the Father. Praise the Father. I'm just a vessel, and I praise the Father for all that he's done in me and how he's built me up through the teaching, through his word, through his spirit. So Abba directed me to teach in small settings using the word, the HOI teachings, and the Ruach. When I took the minister training 1 and 2, I stated that I wanted to teach in small groups and on Shabbat. Have the group tune in to HOI. See, I jumped ahead of myself. I didn't know I had on the next line. And we have fellowship after the teaching. I say all this to tell you, I was not looking to come up and teach here today. But when Father said, go and teach at House of Israel on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I did. I got right on it. I started preparing. I wasn't going to have this be my Nineveh moment. So I had to listen and obey. I had a Shema. Listen and obey. Now, I had a teaching that I prepared, that I had to send in, and it has to be approved and vetted. And in that teaching, I was just looking in front of the computer. So I kept doing this. So I'm glad that I had to do that, because it vetted me. Because otherwise, you would have got that all day today. I'd have been doing this. But Sister Sharon wrote some nice notes and told me, you need to look. You need to look towards audiences. So even if you're just in front of the laptop or in front of your phone and you're recording, you need to look at the audience, you know. Give them your attention. Don't look away. So I praise the Father. It's all a process. It's all part of the discipleship training. So today I pray that there's been a great restoration with the brethren. I pray that we understand that Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. High places. That's where he wants to sit. As if he's Elohim. So let us be on the offense in this battle. Offense and defense in this battle. Let us from today forward be known as repairers of the breach. The restorers of the paths to dwell in. Matthew 13:20. I'm just going to give a few more scriptures at the end. I'm going to run through these now because I got the time. Matthew 13:24-30 in the King James Version. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came unto him and said, sir, didst thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then has it tares? He said to them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. And bind them in bundles to burn them. Just let that marinate. Let that simmer. But gather thy wheat into my barn. I want us to be that wheat that's gathered into his barn through restoration. Revelation 22:12-15. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. Work. Give every man to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So I just ask, whose report will you believe? We're going to believe that we will be granted and given according to every work. Or we can listen and say, we don't have to do work anymore. So we know that the body has to work together. It cannot work separate. It has to work together. I know more than some because Father had to heal me so that my body could work again. Amen. So the body has to work together. We all can't be pastors, apostles, teachers, prophets, but we can be the brethren that support. And how do we support? Because support, I'll get to that in the end. I'm going to hit that in the end. Because there is a spot for that in here. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Blessed. You're blessed. Deuteronomy 28, those first 14. Grab a hold of those blessings. We are blessed. Somebody posted a question just this past week on Facebook and they said, what are Father's promises? So I gave the entire Deuteronomy. Because the first 14 are promises of your blessings. But the remainder are promises of the curses that will come if you don't keep Father's commandments. So, they that might have the right to the tree of life and may enter into through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever... what? Loveth and maketh a lie. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. We have to let those lies go. We have to let them go. And we can't teach anyone else any of that falsehood. We give them the truth. And only the truth. And we ask them. We ask them when they come back. Can you show me in scripture? And it will be done in love. Now here's where it's at. This is how you could be part of the body. And help. Your support is greatly needed and appreciated. You can make it donations through Zelle, Venmo, Cash App. These are preferred because 100% of your tithes, offerings, donations go straight to the ministry. You don't have to worry about a credit card company taking their portion. 100%. So you can know that 100% of what you're doing is given. So even if you say, well, you know what? I'm going to add a little bit extra so that if I want to give XYZ, I'm going to add XYZ plus the fee that they'll take out. They're still getting that fee. Go ahead and add XYZ and FE. Just go ahead and just give it all. Through Zelle, Venmo, or Cash App. Those are preferred. And that's how, if you tell yourself, when I had my stroke and I was in rehab for 21 days, I couldn't walk. I couldn't move my arm. So could I go out and disciple nations at that point? I could at the Bible study. I could one-on-one here. So there's a small group of people that I could reach there. But could I reach the nations? When I send our funds in, I know that I'm taking part, and I always put a note, making disciples of the nations in the note, because that's what I want to do, and that's what's called on my heart, is to help make disciples of the nations. So please make your donations to the preferred. But if you don't like the preferred, those are the preferred again, and those are the addresses. If you don't like the preferred, you can always send a mail in your check or money order. This is the mailing address. P.O. Box 1182, Fort Mill, South Carolina, 29716. Once again, P.O. Box 1182, Fort Mill, South Carolina, 29716. I skipped this one. So if you have a smart device, you can go up to your screen right now and scan that in, and it will open up all the app to whatever device you scanned it on, and it makes it real easy for you. I know the app, for the longest time, I hadn't downloaded it. My wife downloaded it immediately when we first heard of it. But there was an outage one time where YouTube and Facebook, both the Facebook pages wouldn't pop up, YouTube wouldn't pop up. But if you had that app, my wife was on the app, we were all able to watch it through the app. So download the app so that you won't. You can give by texting. If you'd like to donate your tithe or offering to 704-810-1579. There's four simple steps.
I
thought I had to do them all. Hebrews University.
Appreciate all right. That, brother. All right. Well, thank you so much, Brother George. Don't go anywhere. We're gonna hang out here for a moment.
Shabbat shalom.
And give people opportunity to ask some questions, and I'm going to stand here with you so that we can do this together. But at this particular point, there was much that was being communicated. Many of the things that you were saying in here, I know that there's been people who have written in from time to time. In fact, I have had the request to teach on 2 Thessalonians, and I've not been led to do that. And so when you came here today and that was the teaching that you was going to present, I know that those who have requested it, if they were online, they finally got their requests.
Amen.
So if there are any questions or comments or statements that you would like to make concerning the teaching that you've heard today, this is your opportunity to do that.
We have a question from Randy. Aren't we the temple now?
Say what?
Aren't we the temple now?
Yes, there is. This particular teaching that Paul is doing on this particular letter that he has written. You got to remember that when Paul was an apostle, the temple existed. And then there was prophecy that Messiah spoke concerning this temple that is there is going, there would not be one stone left upon another. Prophetically, there has been prophecy pertaining to, like, for instance, Ezekiel temple. When it comes down to the actual question, yes, we are, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But there is also a physical temple, and there are prophecies that surround a specific temple that there are those today that are looking at rebuilding the temple. There are believers that are in Christian Zionism and Zionism that believe that there has to be another temple built before the Messiah could return. But the short answer to your question is, yes, we are the temple. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but there's also a physical temple of brick and mortar.
Amen. And I was just going to add to that, where Scripture says that he wants to stand in the temple. And so if your body is the temple, do you want him standing in you? If you're not keeping Father's commandments, since your body is the temple?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Thank you, George, for the for that message. You brought out several key points, and I jotted down a lot of notes. However, there was one one question that it's not a question that I have to you, but it's kind of like a question that you asked yourself that I think is relevant for everyone to really pay attention to, because it was also we're told to test the spirits. So when you ask the question, who is answering me? When I pray, who is answering me? Is it the lawless one that is disguised as an angel of light? How do I know? What do I have to do? You test that to what is written. You test it. But I like that the idea of what you said was for each person to evaluate themselves. Who is answering me?
Amen.
Who is answering me? And I really emphasize for anyone that's out there, ask yourself, who is answering me? And you take that knowledge and what's being told, and you test it against what's written. Not what your pastor tells you, not what your brothers and sisters or relatives or friends in the traditions, but what is written according to the Bible. What is written in the Word? What does God's Word say? So who is answering you?
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for sharing.
Praise Jehovah.
Hallelujah. Praise Him.
Glory. Hallelujah. Praise Him. I just praise Him. I thank Him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom, my brothers and my sisters. I just want to hallelujah. Just give Jehovah all the glory and all the honor and the praise, because He's raising up mighty men and women to carry His word. I'm just hallelujah. Thank Him. I thank Him. And I just praise Jehovah for you, George. I thank you for your authenticity, your realness. Can't even say that word right now, but the realness and your personal testimonies because we need that. We need to see that. I mean, what's going on in the saints' lives, you know, to know that this thing is real.
I mean,
it is real. And so I was really thinking about what you said about the loud noise and the quarreling and all that stuff outside your room. When I first came here to Charlotte, so many things happened to me. And I remember saying to the Father, I said, Charlotte has a strong spirit, evil spirit here. And Jehovah said to me, but I am stronger.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Praise Him.
And
praise
I've
him.
Never forgotten that. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I don't care what I go through. I remember Him saying He's stronger.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So He's stronger than those people. He's stronger than any spirit.
Amen.
And I just praise Him.
Hallelujah.
I mean, I've gone through a lot, but I look to it and I say, He is Jehovah. You are strong.
Amen.
And He's given us some that power. And I'm learning, hallelujah, but my Father, He loves us, and He's taking care of us. He's our provider. He's our healer, our deliverer. He is our Savior. Hallelujah.
Praise Him.
And so
hallelujah.
I just thank Him. I thank Him, and I praise Him. And I remember seeing you at the feast, you know, not realizing what you were going through. And me, myself, I've had some physical challenges. This arm, they say that I need a shoulder replacement. This arm, the rotator cuff is worn out. But hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I press forward because I believe in His healing power. And I know what He can do. And I say, you know, no, I'm not having no surgery. I'm not going to be cut on. My Father is going to heal my body. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because by Yeshua's stripes, I am healed. Amen. And I stand on that. And so I continue to come and raise my hand and give him the glory and the honor and the praise. And I just praise him for your healing.
Amen.
Praise. Won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
Hallelujah. He'll do it. So hallelujah. Our Father, he's great. He's awesome. And he is worthy to be praised. So, I mean, given your testimonies, there's so many, but I just want to just praise him and just thank him because he loves us and he cares. So bless you.
Thank you.
And thank you for that word.
You were missed when you weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a period of time because you gave your testimony when you came back because you went through some more things. And before you came and got on the mic, we heard you in the audience. I said, babe, to my wife, I said, that's the hallelujah lady. That's the hallelujah lady. She's going to get up and she's going to say hallelujah. And then apostle would say, praise him. Praise him. I said, so get ready. She's going to get on the mic with the hallelujah. So you were missed. Just know that. You're part of the body, the brethren, and you're missed. You've given a lot of testimonies.
Hallelujah. You know what? I miss you guys too. And I was gone for 8 months. I was stricken with COVID. Almost took me out of here. And I couldn't understand why I got it, because I was standing on Jehovah's word, and I wasn't going to get it. My whole family had it, and then I babysit my grandson, and so, you know, he got it, and he gave it to me. But you know what Jehovah said to me while I was on my bed? He said, you were disobedient. And I said, disobedient? How am I disobedient? So I'm thinking in my mind, okay, if I would have been obedient, I wouldn't have gotten it. But when he said I was disobedient, he said, you stopped taking your medicine. I said, oh, and he's been dealing with me on that. You know, in my mind, this thing with the medication, I'm like, you know what? I don't know. Jehovah's going to heal me. And, you know, I don't need to take this medication. So I would get on and off of it, on and off of it. So I had stop taking some of it. And he said, you're disobedient. And, well, guess what? I had to be hospitalized. Mm-hmm. And they gave me four times as much medication. I stopped taking my aspirin. I didn't think it was that important. So, took me to the hospital. They gave me four of them. And I'm like, what in the world? I was shocked. But I learned, I went through some suffering, but Jehovah let me know that he is my healer.
Amen.
And I don't care what kind of medications we take, ultimately, Jehovah is the one that has to heal us.
Amen.
Even if it's through medications. I've taken medications that worked and some that didn't work. But he wants us to walk in obedience to him. So this thing that I've learned, you know, Arthur's teaching on hearing his voice. And I'm learning how to hear his voice and walk in obedience to his voice. Because, you know, I was like, well, you know, I know you're going to hear me, Lord. And he's dealing with me now with food and all that stuff. But he wants us to hear his voice and obey.
Amen.
So I just thank you so much for that teaching, because I wrote down some of the things I wanted to talk about, and I wasn't even going to talk about that, the COVID thing. But hallelujah, I'm here.
Amen.
And it's good to be here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And it's good to stand up and give him praise.
Hallelujah.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Every day of my life, I wake up, Jehovah, thank you for another day. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I thank you and I praise you. It's just good to praise him in your spirit.
Yes.
Just praise him
Rejoice.
And give him all the glory because he deserves it. So thank you so
Amen.
Much, brother. Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Rejoice. Did you not say rejoice?
Amen.
Amen.
We have a question from Tina. Should I question every Rhema word I received in the Christian church because it was given under the counterfeit?
If it's scripture and it's in its context, then it doesn't have to be questioned. But if it's something else other than what Father has given in his word, then you should question it. But that's why I was going to do the thing. Like I said, if we started a little streamline on YouTube and everybody put a falsehood that they were given in the church. And I'm not trying to say any particular one. It could be Christian. It could be Catholic. It could be any other religion. It could be Messianic. If you're given something that's not the word, if you're being told to do something that's not in here, but they say, well, we do this out of tradition. Is it taken away from the word? Is it something that's going against the word? Does it block us? Because Messiah was speaking to people who kept those traditions. So if it's in the word and you could prove it with word, keep it because it's the word. But if it's not, I leave that to you. That's why I said I ask you the question. I leave it to you to answer that. And hopefully you get in the word and get the answer.
On the prophecy, because I'm here in Charlotte because of a prophetic word.
Amen.
And I can't find that in the word. The things that Father has spoken through prophets while I was in the church that I have seen come to pass. And the way we test prophecy, one way you test prophecy is what is being prophesied, did it come to pass? There are many things that people have said that have not necessarily come to pass, and some things that certain individuals have prophesied have shown themselves to be wrong, and they've apologized for saying things that God said at the time they said it that didn't come to pass. In fact, the opposite became the reality. And when you get prophecies from people like that, you have to call them what they are.
Yep.
That's false. That's false prophecy. And once a person prophesies falsely, then they should be suspect from that moment on. Because if they prophesied falsely once, saying the Lord said and he did not say, then that certainly lets you know what you're dealing with. But then there's another thing. When it comes down to a word from the Almighty that may be in the word, then that's something you don't necessarily have to be so concerned about. But those things that are not, then now there's the issue of witness. Because where two or three witnesses are, let every word be established. And I know that's established in the sense of going to a person, but also when a person speaks concerning thus saith, and then there is another independent witness to what that is, you know, to that person, then you have to also test the spirit. So it's, you know, to say, should I question every rhema word? Yeah, you should question it. You should test it. But if it's showing itself to be true, one thing that we don't have to do is I don't have to try to fulfill a prophetic word. If I've got to fulfill it, then that is not from him. And that's the caution, because I've seen too many people get a word and then they run out to try to fulfill that word. The Lord showed me your husband. Now they're out there looking for a husband. Why? Because there's something in their heart, and then they find someone, and then their spirit tells them that's him. And next thing you know, they're fulfilling a prophecy, not even realizing that that's what they're doing. So you've got all these measurements to where you have to bear witness. There has to be a witness. There's things that he will say that is not necessarily in the word, that there will be a witness to that. And then you have to test the spirit. You have to discern the person who is speaking the word over your life. So there's a lot of aspects to prophecy, and you want to think through those things and not be afraid when you believe that Father is saying something to hold on to it and stand on it.
Amen.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Thank you for sharing, Brother. I just had a question. Early on, you shared the story of how you called upon the name of Jesus, that name specifically, and received healing. And then you later on, you proposed the question of the validity of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, I don't think I noticed if you ever came to a conclusion and shared that conclusion of where you received that healing. If you could get some.
What I said is that everyone's going to have to answer this question on their own. For me, I said, for me, it says that there will be all signs, wonders. So if I received healing and I received it from someone who Messiah will say, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Did I receive it from the Father, or was it from the other signs, wonders, all working miracles and powers? That's a question. Mm-hmm. So in this setting, I chose not to answer that for anyone. I chose for everyone to be able to search the scriptures and answer for themselves. So, yeah, I'm not answering that. It's on restoration. So we're going to be restored if we apply everything that we learn and seeing the scripture, and we follow Messiah and walk how Messiah walked. We teach how he taught. And then he said, go out and make disciples of the nations. So as the disciples went with that model and taught and walked, we need to be doing that same type of thing. Not a different doctrine, a different teaching. But as far as who healed me, that's between me and the Father. I'm not going to answer that, because that's going to create a whole nother teaching that I may have to come back and teach on, but that's gonna be a whole nother teaching. So that's why I put it in that way, so that you could answer for yourself, for you, not answer for me. Shabbat shalom.
Brother George, first I wanted to say thank you for allowing Jehovah to use you and being obedient to him and to his calling.
A little closer.
Being obedient to him and to his calling. Yeah. When I taught on that message that salvation is not in Jesus, that Second Thessalonians chapter 2 was actually the foundation that sparked that message. Wow. I think I might have included it in one of the slides, but I didn't highlight that as the key verse, but that's what started Amen. That message. Amen. I will say also that I was glad that you highlighted the fact of when you said what spirit answered you. I've talked to people about that. I've said things to individual family members, and they looked at me as though, you know, are you questioning whether or not my blessing came from the Almighty? And I'm like, well, the enemy has gifts too. Mm-hmm. That's how he moves in deception. He mm-hmm. promised Yeshua all the kingdoms of the world. And we saw, you know, back in Egypt when Jehovah would tell Moses to perform certain, you know, tasks, that the magicians and the sorcerers also could perform, you know, these tasks. So I thought that was very much important. I just want to say thank you, brother, for your message. Stay encouraged, and thank you, brother, because you encourage me.
Amen. Praise right. the Father. Hallelujah. Okay.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Brother, I remember meeting you a few years ago at one of the feasts, shook your hand, and walked off and said a few, we said a few words, and walked off and said to myself, that's a quiet brother. Boy, was I wrong. Thank you for the message Amen. That you gave today. I just certainly want to encourage you to continue to be filled with his spirit. Continue to give the message that he gives you to give. Thank you for the message.
Amen. You got that song for me, Brother Vincent?
Excuse me?
That song? Remember in the beginning I asked for that song? Oh, I don't remember.
I can.
Okay. But you had that 1, 2, 3, 4. You had that song. Before the teaching, I asked, could he help me out?
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Thank you for the message, brother. And it is such a blessing that Father has allowed me and many others to be witness to those who are being called and following his instruction. He is giving you this task, and I don't know if you have ministered anywhere else, but you did a wonderful job here. I learned, and there are many people out there that have learned. So I thank you for being faithful and honorable to the Heavenly Father who has called you out. And he knows who he wants to call out. And he knows those who will follow what he gives them instructions to do. So I thank you, brother. I praise you. I give glory, all the glory to the Father. Because not only you, but through the past month, I have witnessed four others Amen. Who were called and have ministered.
Hallelujah.
So he is calling us.
Amen.
And we need to listen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank you for all the times you come and do opening prayers, because that's Father raising you up so that you can teach.
Glory to the King.
Amen. Praise the Father.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
I'm just filled, really, because I have been here with Arthur since 2011 and 2010, actually, but didn't actually get to Charlotte until 2013. And to be able to see through, like you've mentioned several times today, the discipleship, the leadership, and then the ministry one and two. And then I myself was wondering, where are the people? When are they going to come forth? And just to see in the last, Arthur said last year, but I'm not sure when your first teaching was, Ronald. Has it been more than a year? Yeah, not quite a year, but then three people to step up. And I know there's others that are out there. And I so much was full listening to you today, George. And as Vincent said, you know, you seem like a quiet person. But I'm going to tell you, the quietness, and that showed through your teaching, but there was a forcefulness behind it. And that you brought forth a message. And I had to think about, because sometimes we know things, but we just don't really focus in on it. Because I know lots of ministers and teachers and people who are in the Christian church, but I don't necessarily think of them as ministers of light for the other side, mm-hmm. okay? Because you see them really as people. You see them as carnally as opposed to seeing them spiritually. But we need to recognize that spirituality, because truly we don't fight against flesh and blood, but from all these powers of darkness.
Man.
And so we don't want to set ourselves up and being deceived. And one of the ways that we can be deceived is that we continue to associate with people and that it's not helping us to grow. And we're confirming the things that they're in, so we're not helping them to grow either.
Yes.
And I do want to say I appreciated your teaching. And one of the things I most appreciated was that you were so comfortable.
Amen.
You were, and you shared a lot. I learned a lot of things about you today in terms of your testimony. And it was just a comfortability that was there that, and like Steve said, I didn't know if you had taught somewhere else before, but would love to see you back again.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Father.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Praise Father for you, Brother Ray.
Amen.
What a wonderful, wonderful message. And as I was sitting there, I know Apostle Bailey always talks about when he gets up and he teaches how the most important voice that we should be listening to is the Father's voice. And so as I was sitting there listening to the message, I was hearing Father's voice. Amen. It was a voice of love and remembrance from where Father brought me and Cornelius from. I've told my testimony, Cornelius's and I testimony, some time ago about how we moved to Charlotte just on the word of faith, just by hearing one simple word that said, go.
Amen.
And when we came, we had no destination. We had no plan. We didn't even have a place to live. We packed up two vehicles full of clothes, sold everything that we had. We came from Virginia, sold everything that we had. Our oldest son was in college at the time. We had the three little ones. And so we packed up two cars, clothes, and we came because we heard the word go. When we left Virginia, we came from a Baptist church. We had never heard of Messianic, Hebrew roots, any of that. But what we knew from studying the scriptures and listening to the preachers preach the words they were preaching, we knew that something wasn't right. It just didn't feel right. And like you said in your message, there was no power. We weren't seeing miracles. We weren't seeing healing. We weren't seeing people raised from the dead. But when we read the scriptures, that's what his word said. And so deep down, we long for that. We crave for that. And so the church, we were at one of the biggest churches in Virginia. If I called out the name, you might have heard it, because the pastor's name was kind of like nationwide. And so the pastor took notice to Cornelius and I while we were there. And at that time, you know, our hearts was just set on just being servants, just serving the Most High. But this pastor, he came to us, and we weren't even leaders in the ministry, but he came to us and he was getting us to get up and pray and read scriptures and different things like that. And so we're like, okay, well, we're a servant. We're team players. You know, whatever the ministry needs, we're going to jump on it. You know, we want to see the ministry grow. We want to be kingdom builders. And so we were getting up, we were doing scriptures, and there were leaders that were at this particular ministry, and they're looking like, how in the world are y'all calling them to get up? They're not even ministers. They're not even leaders. They haven't went through this training or that training. But nevertheless, we would get up and we would do what the pastor asked us to do. And so I never forget one Sunday we were sitting there, probably about a few weeks before we decided to move to Charlotte. They had a guest minister that came in. I can't remember the message that this minister, what he preached about, but I remember one word, and I'm sure Cornelius can confirm that. He said, go. With such power and force. And I looked over at Cornelius. He looked at me. He said, that's Father telling us to go. But we didn't know where we were going. And so we prayed about it. Father set some things in motion as far as Cornelius getting a job here in Charlotte. Still didn't have a place to live. Didn't have a lot of money. But we knew that the Father said go. And our heart's desire was to walk in obedience, because we wanted more. We wanted to experience those things that we had seen in the Word. And so Father put some things in motion. He set up something, got Cornelius a job here in the area. So we went to go talk to the pastor, and he was like, well, we were just getting ready to make y'all deacons and make you a minister and all that. Are you sure? We said, the Father said, go. And so with that, he didn't say anything. And so he said, okay. And so he was like, we appreciate your service. We love you. We miss you all. We're going to miss you. And we were like, okay, we just got to go. And so we didn't know. We hadn't heard again of messianic Hebrew roots. Never heard of it. Never, never. All we knew was Christianity, Baptist, Pentecostal, non-denominational. That's all we knew. But we heard the Father's voice. Amen. And I'm just so grateful and thankful that we were obedient Amen. To the leading of his voice. Hence, we're here today, which is such a blessing. But when we came, we were like, okay, Father wanted us to go from that area, still not understanding, still not walking in Torah. So we thought, okay, he just wants us to go to another church. So we get here in the area, we get settled, and we were staying in a hotel, one bedroom hotel with three kids. We came here again on the word go, just the word of faith. So we found a church in the area, in the Gastonia area. So we started going to that church, and we was like, wow, maybe this is the ministry that we're supposed to be at. You know, this pastor, he seems to be, you know, preaching with passion and fire and all this. And so the more we continue going to this ministry, and, you know, all it was words, because, again, we were in that same situation. We didn't see no power. Wasn't no power in this place. And then Father began to show us some things that wasn't lining up with his word. And it just vexed my spirit. It just bothered me in my spirit so much. And me and Cornelius, we talked about it. We prayed about it. I said, Cornelius, I think we need to go talk to the pastor, you know, concerning some things that's going on. But it's like, you know, we're new there and we're going to this pastor to talk to him about his ministry. Who are we? You know what I mean? But it just bothered my spirit so much. So we met with this pastor and we shared some things that we saw. Father had spoke to my spirit concerning some things. And, you know, it's like we really want to build the kingdom. And so, you know, we go to him, we talk to him, and he accepted everything that we said. He said, yeah, he said, I know some things going on. He said, I just need you guys to stand with me, stand in prayer. And we're going to get through this, because I know that God sent you all here, but it just didn't line up. It just didn't sound right. It didn't touch my spirit. So when we walked out of there, I looked at Cornelius. He looked at me and we was like, you know, that's our answer. Father doesn't want us to be here in this ministry. He didn't want us to be here because things aren't right. It's still not what we were looking for. So we go home the next day. I remember Cornelius was in the kitchen with the kids. I was in my bedroom. I was sitting on my bed and I was reading the word. And I paused from the word and I just began to think about this ministry and like, Father, is this the right thing? Because we hadn't even been at that ministry long, but something just ain't adding up. And I'll tell you this, Father is so faithful. He showed me, I had a vision, an open eye vision. He showed me the pastor's face came right up to my face and his face was demonic. I mean, it was an open eye vision. I had never experienced that before. The face came right up to me and it was the pastor's face and it was evil. And I screamed out because I had never experienced anything like that. So Cornelius comes running in the room. He was like, what's wrong with you? I said, Father just showed me a vision of this pastor and his face was evil. And I had never experienced that before. And I say all that to say at that moment, we knew that it was the Father saying false prophet, amen, false apostle, false preacher, false teacher. And so we never went back to that ministry again, but he did call us and, you know, wanted to know if we were coming back. We told him, no, we weren't coming back. And just Father, you know, revealing himself and showing us these things, I was like, wow, there's more to this because I had never experienced that type of vision before, but Father was showing, he was showing us. And then I heard the scripture where he said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
There you go.
You know, so when you were ministering and I was thinking about that scripture where he was talking about false pastors and prophets, if we tune into the Father, if we stay in his word, Father will show us. Yes. He will speak to us and he's faithful even when we're not faithful, because even at that time, we still weren't walking in Tor. We were still searching, looking for the truth. But Father still spoke to us, amen, because he knew our hearts. You know what I mean? And so he just brought us to the place that we're at today. But I say all that to say again is that we just have to stay focused, stay obedient, stay in his word. Like you posed that question, Father will answer that question for each and every one of us if we just stay in his word, amen, and follow his commandments. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you for all your podcasts and all that you're doing. My wife really appreciates those. I listen to them too, but just told me to let you know that. When you came up and you talked about the previous church in Virginia, it triggered something in me. It reminded me I didn't finish the testimony. And I said, Father woke me up and asked why I was still going to that Sunday church. And I gave him my straight answer. I'm not going anymore. Just by him answering me, I'm not going anymore. I already knew that what I was doing was, I could say it's helping and it's this and it's that, but I said, I'm not going anymore. But then because I love my wife so much, I said, Father, can you please give me the scripture to give her? So when I let her know that I won't be going back, I don't want her to, you know, I don't want there to be an issue in the house. So it was about midnight that night after Shabbat. I went to my computer and I sat at the computer just right before I was going to lay down. And Father had me open the scripture right to that Revelation scripture. He who loveth and practice the lie. And I gave that scripture to my wife the next morning. And she said, I'm putting in my notice. Because she ran children's church for like 3 weeks. I mean, sorry, for 3 years. So she said, I'm going to give them a 30-day notice. Because she wasn't going to just leave them without anybody. You would do that, you know, at your regular job, you know. So, and she wasn't on salary. They didn't pay her anything. But when you said, they said, hey, we were going to give you this position. She had did it for 3 years. She created all the study information for the children, created everything. We printed stuff up. But when she was about to leave, they dangled a salary in front of her. Oh, but we want to pay you. And she was like, that's not why I'm leaving. I told you why we're leaving. I can't practice a lie. He would love it to practice a lie. And she was like, I can't. So my question is, for people who think that you should still be in there doing it, why? Because this was me. Remember, this was me. I was keeping Shabbat and going to a Christian church. So if you think you should be doing that, I ask you this, because you say I'm witnessing the people in there. Would you go into, and I just use this, I'm not trying to be vulgar or anything, but would you go to a strip club and go inside the strip club to witness to the patrons and justify that? Well, I'm here to witness. You're not here to witness. So in that situation of falsehood, you're in there for the comfort of, oh, well, they have a wonderful single woman's ministry, or we get to have fellowship, or they have a wonderful praise dance ministry. Do you see the way they throw that flag? Whatever it is that's just drawing you there. It's not the word, because you know that it's a false counterfeit word. So whatever is drawing you there. So Father gave me that scripture. I gave it to him. And I said, my example is, if you're going to witness somebody at a strip club, stand on the street, because you can't even be on the parking lot. You'll get arrested for being on their property. So stand on the street and wait for them to get ready to leave. And then you could witness to them. So I wasn't going to be in there trying to witness and teach them, where that's not where Father wanted me to be. He asked me, and I gave him the answer right away. He gave me the scripture for my wife. She gave notice, and we've been just 100% Torah since. Praise the Father. Any more questions? If not, then the apostle's going to lead us in prayer.
We have questions, comments, prayer requests, and praise reports. A question from Tina. I received the ability to speak in tongues by a pastor laying hands on me in the Christian church. Was that from the counterfeit spirit? Do I need to repent? Because sometimes I bust out speaking in tongues without me noticing it.
Apostle Ndubuisi at House of Israel in Nigeria just recently did a teaching on this, just this past week. And the gift wasn't given from that pastor. The gift was given from the Most High. Father gave you the gift. So I wouldn't feel that you need to repent for that. Father gave you the gift. It's where you were at. Father used a donkey to speak when the angel was right there about to slay. And he said, stop, you know. So I wouldn't say you have to repent for that. I would say Father gave you that gift. That's your gift. Operate in it and operate in it properly. So Apostle said the other day, he said, I speak in tongues, but y'all never hear me here. So I could speak in tongues right here, but I wouldn't do it because it wouldn't edify the body. So what I'm going to do is edify the body and speak in tongues when it's proper, or if there's somebody here who can interpret it, then I'll speak in tongues because it will edify the body. So, but I wouldn't say you have to repent for that because Father gave you the gift. So I hope that answers your question, Tina.
The next question is from Tanya. I missed part of the message. Would you please clarify from Scripture where the word says controlling others is witchcraft? This makes sense to me, but I need the scripture. Thank you very much.
I can't preach another sermon. I already got the time earlier because that will open up another sermon. So if you send that to contact us on arthurbaileyministries.com, you can send that question there, and they'll have your answer for you, Tanya. Shalom. Shabbat shalom.
We have a comment from Ms. Baruch. Shabbat shalom, HOI family. Great message and delivery, Brother George. I'm praying for your continued good health, complete healing for your family and your travels back to New Mexico. Praise Jehovah for his discipleship training center producing laborers for the fivefold ministry.
Shabbat shalom.
The next comment is from Rhonda. Shabbat shalom, saints of Yehovah. Thank you, Minister George, for your message today. We were taught so many falsehoods in the churches of man. If we do not have the proper light, Yeshua, the word of Yehovah, the true light by which we see, those going to the churches of man are groping in the darkness of the false light. We have the true light we know because it is backed and built on the rock of Jehovah's word. Praise Jehovah for calling us out of the darkness. Hallelujah. Much love and blessings to you all.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Dolene has a comment. All praises to Yah. Nice teaching, minister. I bless Father for you. I'm fond of expository teaching. It's my favorite style of sermon. Keep letting Father be glorified through your obedience.
Amen.
Blessings to you and your family. Another comment, and this one is from Bobby. Shabbat shalom, HOI family. I praise Jehovah for the message. I believe Jehovah did use you to bring forth his message. I know I received my portion. Regarding using the correct name, I believe when you know better, you do better. To answer your question, I think Yeshua answered you. not Satan. Yeshua dealt with us based on the level of our faith, knowledge, and understanding. The goal is to apply or live your life according to what you know, while Jehovah continues to reveal himself to you. The more understanding we have in the scripture, the more he is expected of us. To whom much is given, much is required. I know people who pray in the name of Jesus and get results. I believe it is because in their hearts they are praying to Jehovah in the name that they know. We have a praise report from Dolene. Shabbat Shalom, House of Israel.
Shabbat Shalom.
Tremendous blessings, peace, and joy as you all learn and fellowship on this blessed Shabbat. Hallelujah. I moved this past Wednesday and made it safely to my new area of residence. Father, bless me with no traffic on my drive up from North Carolina. I made it to my meeting on time.
Amen.
I was aiming to relocate to Maryland. However, Father showed me something better and I got a better deal in Delaware. Thank you for all your prayers. Praise Father for answering our prayers and being our shepherd, causing us not to want. He takes good care of his children. Blessings to the prayer team for being a big blessing and checking on me during transition. And we have some prayer requests.
Amen.
You want to do it? Or you want me to do it?
You want to do it? Remember you? We discussed this in the beginning.
Okay, our first prayer request. Okay. I'll send them.
We discussed this.
Shabbat Shalom. Okay. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to do the prayer request. But there was a couple of questions. Well, he gave the opportunity. No, he read through the PowerPoints for offerings and those of you, have we accepted the offering? No? We're going to give you opportunity to give. You know, he was going through the PowerPoints. That's what he was doing. So we're going to give you all an opportunity to give. For those of you joining us online, you have an opportunity to share your tithe and offerings with us on the website, arthurbaileyministries.com, and just go to the donate page and you can actually give your offerings. I've sat there and I've struggled. Yes. Father, we just thank you for this time of giving. We ask your blessings upon these gifts and each giver. Let none lack as a result of their giving, but to the contrary. We know that when we prove you, when we give, that the windows of heaven, as you have declared, will be open and blessings in abundance poured out. And we just thank you, Father, for meeting every one of our needs, for blessing us, and for just being there for us. And so bless these gifts, bless these givers. Thank you, and be glorified in them in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
You can pass the basket. There was a verse in this particular passage, and there's questions that came from it, and the question concerning healing, even in your own personal life. The issue is that according to what Paul wrote, Father does send delusions. He does send strong delusions. There are those who are so bent on what they want. As he wrote again there in Romans chapter 1, that there's a tendency to where a person can want something to such a degree that Father can give people over to reprobate minds, mm-hmm. so that they would do those things that are unseemly. When it comes down to, and Brother George brought this out, when Yeshua was in the wilderness, the enemy who had control over the resources of the earth tried to tempt the Most High with the idea that if you bow down to me, I can give you all this stuff. There are numerous of individuals in the world, because one question that people that I've had to ask
and has been asked to me is that, you know, if the Almighty is blessing people who are following him, then who's blessing these millionaires and these billionaires who are not following him? Because if blessings are equated to substance, resource, money, and things, then how do the people who don't obey the Almighty get all these blessings? And the fact is that as Paul wrote and you brought out in this particular teaching, that the Almighty seems to allow Satan to do these things. And then working in tandem, sending strong delusions, signs, power, wonders, operating in the earth, and people are being deceived by these things. As I was saying earlier, you know, you have something in your heart and a word comes. And we know that there are people who say the Almighty said and the Almighty didn't speak, but what was coming forth out of that person was to the heart of the person in which they were ministering to, that they take that as a word of the Almighty, which is why we know, according to Scripture, we have to test the spirits. We have to test the spirits. Because people think, and there are people who believe, that those things that they're receiving are blessings from the Almighty. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, Father doesn't bless us so we could be rebellious. Amen. He's not giving us something that's going to pull us away from him. He's not putting people in our lives that is going to cause us to question and then begin to be drawn away. Because I've seen where people have come into a ministry and grab people, develop relationships with the people. And next thing you know, they're both gone. Mm-hmm. They're all gone. I remember something, and I struggled with this way back in the day. One of my mentors made a statement, and he was speaking from his own experience as a minister. I didn't understand it at the time. I struggled with it. I questioned it. But he said these words, that one of the things that the enemy will do, he will send a person into a ministry and they only have one job, and that job is to make friends and relationships and then leave. Mm. Make friends and relationships and then leave. See, what happens when a person leaves that have been developing relationships in a ministry is you question why they left. There must be something going on. And people get into their heads and they start talking and amongst one another. But the fact of the matter is that the enemy is at work. And we have to be mindful of the fact that the enemy is at work. And when you pointed out something that I used to say a long time ago, if nobody else is here, I'm going to preach what Father gives me. I'm going to stand and do what he has called me to do, regardless to what anybody else do. And that's the tenacity and the position that you have to take. That if Father is sending you into a place and he's causing you and speaking to you to do things, you don't let something or someone else discourage you from that, regardless to what they do or don't do. You have to stand firm on what Father is giving you to do and to say. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Shabbat shalom.
Those prayers. Ooh. Father, we just thank you for Brother George. We thank you, Father, for his commitment to you to take on what you have given us, given him, and then to give it to us. And I pray, Father, for your continual blessings upon him, even as he's contemplating this missions to Nigeria. You know what he needs. I thank you for the healings, the deliverances. I thank you for the wisdom and the insight. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in him and Cindy and their family. And just pray your continual blessings and protection over him in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Amen. And I will also encourage brothers and sisters, especially people who are associated with me in this ministry, experience unusual type of warfare. And the warfare that they experience, you know, one of the things that the enemy has revealed, what Father has revealed to me about the enemy, is when he said that the enemy comes immediately. When the word has been sown in our heart, the enemy comes immediately to steal it. The other thing that Father does is that in order for us to get to the destiny that he's called us to, he has to connect us to people. Amen. And if Father is connecting us to people, then the enemy's job is to disconnect you from that person if the destiny that Father has called you to is going to be fulfilled and it's going to affect what he's doing. Then he's got to stop you from being connected to whom you're supposed to be connected to. And that's one of his issues. When people say, you know, that Father sent me here, and then they leave for some other reason than Father told them to leave, then one has to question what's going on in the midst of that, because the enemy is always working. Mm-hmm. When you are connected to people that you are supposed to be connected to, don't think it's going to be peaches and creams and everything is going to be rosy, because what happens? Iron sharpens iron. And in the sharpening, there's the potential for offense. Mm-hmm. There's the potential for doctrinal differences and for individuals to come to a point to where, you know, that's enough. Well, what's enough? What's enough? Because if Father is saying to you that this is what you need to be doing, then by all means, you need to be doing it. Mm-hmm. But if it's something else saying that to you, then you need to question what's going on. So I'm not surprised when people the enemy tries to disconnect folks from me. Are you hearing me? Because that's what the enemy wants to do. It's something that if people are being disconnected and they're going on to fulfill the destiny, then what has happened is that they've gotten what Father has for them here, and they're moving on to the next phase of that walk. But if they're disconnected and they ain't doing nothing, I'm just saying. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your voice, your presence, for all that you do in the midst of us, for all that you have called us to, and for the purpose that is yet to be revealed in us. Father, I pray for the strength of your people. And I thank you for the laborers that you're raising up to help strengthen and encourage your people for the work and purpose in which you have called them to. Today, Father, we stand in agreement, in faith, for Christine. We pray, Father, for your healing as she's dealing with dizziness, for good results from the blood work that she's had done. Also for direction as to where you want her to relocate. Father, we know that in this time that we're in, that there's all manner of things happening in various places and locations in the earth. Help us to not be moved by substance, by the needs of resources, but to be in tune with you, Father, so that you can lead us and guide us to the place that you want us to be. And we just stand in agreement, even with Christine concerning this matter, that you will direct her to the place that you will have her to relocate. We lift up Austin to you, Father, for reconciliation concerning he and his wife, Michelle, for their marriage. We pray, Father, for restoration. As the message has gone forth today concerning restoration, that you'll restore that family. Father, you know the circumstances that have caused the challenges and issues that they face. And you know how to resolve them and how to speak to each of them. I pray, Father, that you will give them both ears to hear. You will cause humility to manifest in the midst of them. Father, we know that when people are hurt, things have been said and things have been done. Resistance builds. Even giving place to pride. We know you resist the proud. And we know sometimes, Father, hurt and letdowns can become so powerful to where resistance and buildup can be developed, even to the point to where when you speak, there's a resistance to hear. Pride of being hurt, pride of being dealt with in a certain way, and not being able to even forgive, and saying things like, yeah, I forgive, but I won't forget, and yeah, I forgive, but I'm done. Even when it comes down to covenant relationships, help us to not be a prideful people, but a people that are sensitive to your voice, a humble people, a forgiving people, that we may be reconciled and restored. And I pray, Father, this for Austin as we stand in faith for them, for he and Michelle, and for their marriage. We desire, Father, even as they desire, for you to move in them for restoration of their family, for separation of all things happening that are contrary to Torah. And for you, Father, to let honor and let them honor the covenant made before you almost 8 years ago, that you will give them clear guidance and counsel as to how to navigate this delicate scenario that they find themselves in. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for your voice. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. We thank you for moving in the midst of us. Help us. Help us to surrender our wills and to yield to your voice. You know what's best for us, though we think we know. You know what's best for us. And so let your will be done in our lives. Amen. Are there any more prayer requests? All right. Any other comments or questions before we bring this session to a close? Thank you again, Brother George. Certainly a blessing having you. Cindy, I know you're watching, and I'm sure you're critiquing the message, but he was gentle and he was good. So thank you, for sharing him with us. At this time, we're going to dismiss. Amen. We're going to break for fellowship, and those of you who have come to fellowship, please take time to fellowship, get to know one another. And one other last thing, I've meant to say this for several weeks now, and I keep slipping my mind. There are creative ways that you can begin to establish in the sphere of influence that you have. Brother George, as you was mentioning, and as the question has come forth also, where what has been perceived as power has been a lot of where I've been, shenanigans and entertainment, where people feel that they've heard a powerful message. What they've done is that they've had someone who've been able to preach powerfully by the use of their voice, by the movements that they operate in, by the tone in which they minister. And therefore, it, for some people, is resistance, thinking that I can't do that. I can't preach like that. That's what happened to me. That watching the kind of preaching that was in the environments that I was in is like, I can't preach like this. I know how to minister. I know how to teach. And I can talk. But as far as preaching and teaching like that, that's not who I am. And I think this hinders some people from stepping forward because they think that that's how they have to present, when the fact that's not what it takes at all. In fact, the environment that you're in, and I think about some of the saints, some of the brothers and sisters around, and those who are online, and some of the creative ways in which they are used, where they're allowing the Almighty to use them in the space that they're in. You don't have to be one of those people who have great vocals and to be able to move people by the tone of your voice. As long as you got His truth coming forth out of you, you can minister in any place that you're at, whether you're posting something on Facebook, whether you're creating some kind of meme, whether you're sending some kind of note to someone, whether you're doing a simple FaceTime or podcast or whatever it is that you do. Father can use what's in you to minister to the people that you are in contact with. Because if you're not using what He's putting in you to minister to other people, the enemy is trying to minister to you. And part of it is to keep you from doing anything. So take what He has given you. Use the voice that He's given you. Speak to the people in the environment that you're in. And whatever else He puts in your heart to do, just do that. Amen? Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you all. Enjoy one another. Those of you who are joining us online, remember, we can't do what we do without you. Your support, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Until next time, Shabbat Shalom, saints. Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on Him to keep His promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today.
Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.